This show is brought to you by Datsusara. Go to dsgear.com and check out their extremely high-quality functional gear made with hemp textiles. They have bags, gis, rash guards, and much, much more, including the famous fanny pack. It's dsgear.com and use code word Joey to get 5% off. Show is also brought to you by Onnit.com. Go to Onnit.com and use code word church to save 10% on all of their amazing optimization products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, and Shroom Tech Sport.
Kick that mule, Lee. Kick it, mule, Lee. Kick it. I want you to blow my fucking speakers right out. It's fucking Sunday night, aka Monday morning, bitches. Are you fucking kidding me or what?
On the road for 40 days.
Are you fucking kidding me or what? Sweet, sweet Connie, do her act. She had the whole show, and that's a natural fact. I don't know what the fucking date is. I know it's Sunday, August something. It's a beautiful day to be alive. You got your health, you got your fucking stomach, yeah, and everything else falls into place. The church of what's happening now, bitches. Here we go. We're an American band. We're coming to your town. We'll help you party down. We're an American band.
Let's go to Omaha, Joey. Bang it up. Bang it up. Fuck yeah.
Welcome to Keeners in Omaha.
Oh shit.
Waiting for the band to return on the show. Leave. Oh, shit, that's a fucking great jam. And it's weird because you think, is that the one that, no, it's the other one, Black Betty. You think it's the Allman Brothers.
Oh, Black Betty's, I came on the stage to Black Betty for fucking 4 years.
Song. I love
that. That is such a great, I hear that and I get chills.
Now, who sings that?
Ram Jam.
Ram Jam.
They're out of Jacksonville, or maybe they're not out of Jacksonville, but I always got that, like when you watch their, the video, they're in like in front of just an old redneck two-story white house and just bell bottoms and fucking 1970 real simple song. Oh, I fucking love
that. I love that.
I love Black Betty.
I love that whole shit. What's going on, Bert Kreischer?
I am Syatt? So good. I'm so happy to be here.
Now, how long have you been home for? You've been home for a fucking while.
Yeah, I'll be home for a little longer, too, now that they canceled that tour.
Now, how many weeks were you on it for?
I was just doing two, but I pulled out. You know, I don't do, because we talked about this, but I don't do much as much on the road because of the girls. And so I pulled the 2 weeks I was working, and I filled them up with that tour. And so the other weeks I had off. So as soon as that tour went away, I couldn't refill those weeks.
Now, what were the other weeks? What were the other dates you had on the oddball?
I was doing Seattle, Portland, Red Rocks. Red Rocks is the one that bumps me out because I really wanted to do Red Rocks.
That's sad.
Fuck. Yeah, but it would have been sadder doing Red Rocks to 1,500 people.
Yeah, it doesn't
count. I was telling – this is what I was saying about it, Joey. You know what it was? The comics that are on it are all fantastic comics, but they're not, you know, the people that go to that show aren't comedy fans. They're event comedy fans. Like Sebastian's a great comic and comedy fans go see Sebastian, but he's not like a Sam Kinison, Dave Chappelle, Mitch Hedberg. Like his life's really nice and it's put together and he does a really great act. And
well, what shocked me, it wasn't just Sebastian. It was Gabriel. It was Segura, it was Jim Jeffries. I mean, you have all these people and you couldn't chop up the ticket. I really thought, I had mixed feelings. I thought that, listen, let me tell you something. Before I got into comedy, I'm going to tell you something right off the bat. This is how I thought comedy worked. You went to the fucking movies, the movie was sold out, and you and your girlfriend were sitting there with your dick in your hand. You called the other movie theater, they're sold out, but you look across the street and there's a fucking comedy club. And you walk across the street and it's $20 to get in, a 2-drink minimum. You go in there, you don't know who the comic is. You laugh your fucking ass off, you smoke cigarettes. You know, it's one of those things. It became a business now.
Yeah.
Like, it's become a big-time business now. It's 2 drinks. They want to do 4 shows a night. They want to do all this stuff. So now
they got ticket surcharges where all of a sudden
they got ticket surcharges.
$3 on every ticket.
And every fucking ticket that us as comedians don't see a dime of.
Yeah.
Not a fucking dime of. And now you have the ticket. The tour was successful the last couple of years, but it also had Chappelle and Flight of the Conchords.
It was events. It's it just was like events. Pearl Jam. They had like Flight of the Conchords and Louie and Amy and but Aziz.
Not one time. Do you want me to tell you something? Not one time did I doubt the comics that were on the tour.
This year?
None of them. All of them. Just Gabriel and Sebastian did 7 nights at the fucking theater in New York. That's theater with the fucking Allman Brothers playing a row. You know, Bill Burr did, I don't know, 19 fucking sellouts in Boston.
Yeah.
You know, Gabriel, Jesus fucking Christ. Where doesn't he fucking Dubai? The Prince flies him in. You know, these are great comics in their own way. It's also $100 and something. Lee said he went online for the $30 tickets and they were 2 miles away. You had to have binoculars and another binocular for the fucking binoculars.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, it's what I've been talking about. But I got a problem now. Now, I talked to Tommy Easter.
Okay.
And he said he went to the Dodger game the other day for $18.
Right, yeah.
Now, how the fuck? People tell me that $200, the fucking seats. How does Tommy Easter go for $18 fucking?
Well, it's the Game Time app. Well, and there's other ones like it. But that's all it is. It is just...
I mean, he sat in hell, he said.
Yeah,
but
he's in hell.
Do you know they have a medical marijuana smoking section at Dodger
Stadium? No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, there's no way.
That's what he told me. I'll call him right now.
Are you serious?
Yeah. That they have a smoking section and a medical... I mean, you got to walk 8 miles. By the time you get there, you're like, we might as well leave. We're by the bus station. You know, we're all the way
in Silver Lake.
Yeah, we're in Silver Lake already. So I heard there's a medical marijuana fucking little smoke pad there. Listen, you're going to spark up at a fucking game anyway. There's nothing worse.
You wouldn't be too nervous at a baseball game?
Are you fucking kidding me? That's a home of sparking a joint. I remember going to a Yankee game one time and looking down and seeing crack vials.
Yeah.
In 1993.
Holy shit.
That's too much.
Seeing little crack vials in fucking Yankee Stadium. People sitting there with a cigarette. You don't know it. You don't smoke crack. You just smell something, but you're so enrolled in the game, you probably think it's popcorn. You know, I would hate to go to a game with my daughter, with your daughters, and for them to go, Daddy, what's that smell?
Yeah.
You follow me? I would hate to do it. So I think that it's better. Just give them, listen, it's legal. It's might as well be legal here. Might as well be legal here. People smell it now and they go, God damn it. They go, what the fuck?
But here's my question, but going back to the tour, is I think two things. I think people will really regret not having bought those tickets in 2 years. But I think that, like, everyone that was on the tour, there was no, like, Louis or Chappelle or, like just someone. Like, Louis and Chappelle are great white sharks. Like, when they walk into a club, even we get, like, fuck, Chappelle's here, you know? Or, like... And, like, when Sebastian walks in, and I'm not shitting on Sebastian. I love Sebastian. But when he walks in the club, you're like, oh, cool, Sebastian's here. I get to see him. I think he's fucking brilliant. But it's not like the, you know, the Chappelle or Louis or the almost like they have that LeBron status where, like, I don't even give a fuck about basketball, but I do want to see LeBron play a game before he dies.
At the same time, Amy Schumer's not selling tickets with So Amy's got that status. She's not
selling tickets right now?
No. Irvine Amphitheater ran a fucking Groupon 2 Saturdays ago.
Really?
The Irvine one is the one they're really embarrassed about. That's the one that's eating away at them.
They're not even selling tickets to Irvine?
Well, here's the thing. I went to Irvine a couple of years ago, and I don't know any of the comics personally, but it was one of those event shows, as you said. It was the bigger names.
Yeah. You went with Chappelle. And
no, not even. It was the year after that. It was like, really? It was Hardwick. Aziz. It was, I was on the tour with Aziz, but Aziz, I had Gaffigan and Louis C.K. and all that stuff. And I think, Joey, what you were saying, I think you're absolutely right. I think if, like, the tour that was on this Oddball tour was at the store one night or at the Irvine Improv, whatever, something like that, that would be, and you just went in there as a goof,
it'd be a monster show.
It'd be the best show of your life. This was a better show. 100,000%
I think this was a great show.
I told you since day one on the drive to fucking Indianapolis. Listen, I knew Indianapolis wasn't going to sell.
Yeah,
I just knew it. As soon as I saw Sunday, I go, I'll get a ticket. But this is not. This is the Bible Belt.
Yeah, and it's Bob and Tom
Sunday, and it's. I don't think it's going to sell. That's the first one that went down. That made me fucking ecstatic.
Yeah.
Because now I got Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You know, the long drive is Atlanta. Then they called us and said Atlanta was going down, and we're like, what the fuck? And that night I was at the Ice House, and I was talking to one of the door guys, and I go, I'm embarrassed for Gabriel. Gabriel, because Gabriel still went to Fort Lauderdale, okay, and still sold out the Improv at $50 per ticket. Okay, so don't fucking tell me. These motherfuckers looked at that because what do you go see Gabriel by yourself?
No.
No, you take your wife. That's a yardstick. That's a fucking yardstick. Right. The same yardstick that you were going to use for whatever. The yardstick was there. I think that when they called, the service fees were high.
It was like $130 a ticket, right?
I think there was a lot of variables. I think the other thing was, for me, I think it was late in the season. I think it's late in the season. Right now, Bert Kreischer is not thinking about anything. Right now, in 2 or 3 days, both of your girls go to school.
Yeah.
You know, that's what another fact. You know, who knows? It's an election year. Who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
Who the fuck knows? What I do know is that what comedy club do you go to that's empty now? None.
Yeah.
Even the Comedy Store sells out on fucking Tuesday nights. You know, Flappers is doing great. Fucking the Ice House is doing great. Comedy's on the way up. So this is why this whole tour is so very unexplainable. It's so very like, wait a second, what are we doing wrong here?
So where's the fault go? Like, who fucked it up?
Nobody fucked it up. It's everybody's fault here. It's not a comedian's fault.
No, it's not the comedian's fault.
Marketing's fault, maybe. It's there's a lot of things at fault here. But you want me to tell you something? I think that people go to comedy shows again. People are going to comedy shows. Fucking, yeah. And I talk to people all the time, and they go see me, you. You know, they go see Segura. They go see Duncan. They go see Kate Quigley.
And here's what I think it is. That's a lot of money. Let's just say you were going to get a $100 ticket. Look, I'm sure there's more and there's less expensive than that. But for five, that means you could have gone and seen any of you guys five times. And seen an hour.
So do you think, okay, that's a good point, Lee. So theoretically, if I'm understanding what you're saying, when they first did this tour, people were getting like, comedy was on the right upswing where they're like, shut up, comedy's great again. Oh, fuck, I can see everyone I want to see in one night. As opposed to now, comedy's in the upswing, it's doing well, and now everyone's like, fuck that. I'm going to save all these dollars and see each of these guys do an hour. It's almost like a more comedy savvy crowds are like, I'd rather go see Joey for 30, Bert for 30, Gabe for 50. You know what I mean? And see them do an hour as opposed to see Joey do fucking 15 up front, Bert do 10, Tom Segura do 12, Eliza do 15. You know what I mean?
Now, because of my logic that I explained to you that I've always thought movies, I beg the agents to keep the tickets at $25.
I keep mine at 20.
And then one day I go to, well, I keep, they all, oh, well, you should do 27 on Thursday. 20. Yeah. It's fucking date night. It's single night 20.
Yeah.
You know, the agents will push you to no end, to no fucking end with numbers, guys. I just want you to know that at home, you know, when I go on stage, I got to be honest with you. This is why I don't bring anything on the road, because I just want to worry about comedy. Yeah. I don't want to worry about door deals, ticket prices, none of that shit. I don't want the people to get gouged. You know, Thursday night, $15 if you can, $22. But then I find out a week later that there's $8 service charge.
Yeah.
$2 if you will call the tickets. It's a fucking nightmare. You know, you never stop getting fucked. You know, the thing that hurt me the most, half these plane tickets I got, they all had a cancellation fee. $150, $200. Delta, I called three fucking different times. And they gave me two breaks. Eventually, I knew they were going to say, Joey, we got to charge you for fucking something. Southwest, they don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I was taking Southwest from Tampa to Atlanta. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
They just said, we'll put it on your tab. Virgin made me open up a bank account, a Sky Bank, and put my money in there. And I got a year to use it. It just, it's fucking bullshit. But anyway, beside that, what's going on, Lisa? You had a beautiful weekend in San Diego. You went to see Lee. Had a little problem. Lee had a little fucking problem this week that I didn't think about till you said something, and it made a lot of sense because it happens to everybody in this room.
Right.
Couldn't get it up.
Well, that happened before, but that wasn't this weekend.
What is the problem?
Well, I went to, my girlfriend got us tickets. I like this EDM band. And I went, I started seeing them when I was 18, and I've seen them probably over 15, 20 times. And we went down there, and within 10 minutes, we were both looking at each other like, this isn't our, like, this wasn't her scene to begin with. She's just being a nice person and going because I like it. These people, it's people, Joey, who I feel like if you went in there, it would be the best YouTube video. Because it's everyone doing drugs just to do drugs. Like, they have the pacifier. They have these lighted finger gloves that they were just doing in front of someone's face as they were supposedly tripping. And I was on 800 milligrams, and I was laughing in their face because they were doing, like, these little light fingers. But basically, my problem, I told you the next morning, and I don't know if it's age or maybe I just outgrew it. I still like – I'll listen to them in the car, and I like going if there's, like, an up – like, I saw them in L.A., and I could sit down and really watch the light show, and that was cool. But to be in a pit and, like, when you say jumping up and down, doing all that stuff – we left after 15 minutes, went and got Mexican food, and went home. That was our night. Like, it was just, it was, we went down there for that, and the highlight of the trip by far was the San Diego Zoo.
Oh, San Diego Zoo's pretty fucking badass.
Oh, yeah, it's great. And, like,
pretty fucking badass.
And we were, like, there are kids there, and we were having a better time than the kids. We were taking pictures. There's pandas. We went and saw the monkeys. Now, that would be a fun place to get to take these mushroom chocolates, I think. Or something.
The condor is pretty fucking badass at the San Diego Zoo.
I didn't see the condor.
Condor is fucking insane. Insane. You're like, that looks like it's not even a real animal. Just like I want to say it's like a 12-foot wingspan. Just like a fucking pterodactyl. It's insane.
Thursday, I went to the LA Zoo. What a dump. What a fucking dump that is. What a dump. It looks like those animals got hit by a car.
They look like rescue animals.
Oh, my God. The fucking apes.
Are they really? The orangutan. Are they that terrible?
The fucking alligator had a fungi toenail like I do. It was fucking green and purple. I mean, the snakes are nice. The kid has a great time. It's a great little exercise for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It's all uphill, but it's not one of my favorite fucking
zoos. I'll tell you what's fun. We spent the night at the San Diego Zoo.
I saw that you could do that.
Oh, it's fucking Isla for her birthday found out that you could do that. She's like, that's what I want to do. Joey, you hear the lions roaring at night. Just it's fucking.
How the rooms?
It's in what's that?
How the rooms?
It's like cabins, like tents,
and so tents.
You, yeah, like cabin tents, tent cabins. It's a tent, and so you're sleeping in the fucking zoo, and you do like a night walk around the zoo. So you go out at night. It's so fucking badass.
And they leave some animals out.
Is there a fucking fence around you?
Yeah. Yeah.
You wouldn't do that, Joey? You wouldn't want to do one of those safaris?
I couldn't sleep. Oh. I couldn't fall asleep.
Joey's snoring in the fucking, the elephant's trying to match him.
Oh.
I couldn't fucking sleep just knowing that they're a fence away.
Oh, it's so crazy.
And it's the same now. I mean, it's the same. I don't, what do we have between the street and you?
Dude, we spent the night, I spent the night in, right on the, in Tanzania. We were in Tanzania going into the refuge to do safari, and we spent the night right on the lip of it, and it was so cool, and you could hear lions at night, and it was just, and you knew they could walk up and just walk into your front door. Nope. Like, they could be there. You could open the door and a lion could be there, and you just heard them fucking roaring in the middle of the night. The hyenas going fucking nuts. That shit, that's insane to me. Like, the fact that, like, you could walk outside and a lion could just grab you. Fuck that.
Nope.
I like animals, but I don't want to get grabbed by mistake by nobody. The night I spent the night at the fucking thing in the tent, that's the night the Mexican groundkeeper drank tequila and he didn't put a lock on the fucking gate. That's the, you know what I'm saying? With my luck. And I got to wake up next to Timba the lion. I can't do it.
Timba.
Have you ever done the ones, Bert? Like, I don't even know where they have them, but where you can, like, drive through and there's just animals roaming around.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Dude, whatever the fuck they do in Jersey, they have that. Where you drive with the window a little open.
Nope, nope.
No window open.
No. Maybe you can, but I'm not opening the window. Fuck that.
Here, let me show you. I'll show you a picture of how close I was to a lion. We did it because we did it within an open air tent and just drove all over the fucking, literally into the jungle. And there's a lion, not even shitting you, probably as far as me from that flag, probably double that. But he's just sitting there and it's open air. He's just sitting there staring at you. Thumbs, like, tail slapping on the ground just like a fucking cat.
No.
You couldn't do it?
Right? No, I don't think so.
I'll show you a picture. It was fucking insane.
I don't like when there's like a stray dog on my street. It freaks me out a little bit.
I get fucked up when I see a pigeon. I know the pigeons in my neighborhood. They're all fucked up. I see a pigeon from outside a different neighborhood. I get all nervous and shit. I hate fucking pigeons. But what am I going to do?
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, because, Joey, you don't go to concerts anymore. Just going back to what happened at my concert.
Well, it's interesting that you said it to me. It's interesting that you copped to it. A lot of people couldn't cop to it. I don't know. I used to go to concerts to see different bands. And I'm not going to lie, nobody, they would never like bar bands. At that age, I would just go see the bands at the Garden or the Nassau Coliseum or the places like that. And I think once I turned about 20 was when I would get to a concert and ask myself, like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah.
Like, once they played the song I wanted to hear, I got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And I left people like Judas Priest. I left people at concerts. But my biggest ever was when I left Dan Murr at the Rolling Stones at the Hollywood Bowl. Listen, who walks out of fucking, like, 10th row seat tickets and just walks home after three songs?
Yeah.
Like, that's the shit that I was working myself. That's why the last year and a half I haven't gone to a UFC with Joe.
Yeah.
Because I'm to the point where I can't sit there no more. I can't sit there no more. And it started when I was 20 at places. I remember going to see, you know what concert I enjoyed? Like Don Henley at Fiddler's Green. In 95. That was one concert I enjoyed because it was easy drive. It was an easy walk. But now it seems like they just put too much fucking drama.
Well, you always say something to me. Every time I'm going anywhere, you just tell me to download the album and have a joint. You're like, why are you even going to go down there?
You said it to me. I went to the Rams game. And he goes, what the fuck you go to the Rams game for?
And there was a fight that night.
Yeah, there was a fight. Yeah,
you know, and here you take your wife. What if they tumble?
I took the girls.
Yeah.
We got season tickets.
Yeah, you're another one that's half retarded. How are you going to get season tickets to go down there to get beat up?
Are you
fucking crazy?
It was
the band down there.
Why everyone was speaking Spanish behind us.
It's these sporting events now, and they're all, one of them is going to end bad. That's the thing that you know is imminent. Like, you sit there and go, when is something going to go down at one of these fucking things?
You can feel it. You can feel it going on behind us. Like, the energy was like man energy, and it was like third quarter, and I was like, let's get the fuck out. I was like, it's a night game. The day games will be better. This is a night game. It's a preseason night game, so it's all the riffraff. And the guys behind us were talking shit in Spanish, and I could understand a little bit what they were saying. And I was like, man, if this was English, literally Leanne would be turned around going, shut the fuck up. And then they were sitting in these other guys' seats, and the other guys came and finally pulled the cart, and they were like, listen, you need to get the fuck up. You're sitting in our seats. And the guy was like, are we going to do this? And I was like, all right, let's go. What the fuck are we doing?
Listen, man, I went to 7-Eleven the other night. I'm sitting there minding my business. And there's this guy who gets whatever, cigarettes,
yeah,
Newports. He's Mexican. He's got a Raider tattoo on his arm. And then a Raider tattoo on his side. Like, he's got the helmets on his head.
Oh.
But here's what gets even beauty. On his head, it's the Raiders. And I'm looking at this guy, and I'm like, that's who Bert sat next to at that fucking game. Yeah. I mean, and I'm not judging nobody, but, you know, I can't. And if at one point you're like, Joey, you're very negative because you look at the outcome.
Yeah.
You think about the moves. Okay, I'm going to go down there. First off, it's fucking 45 fucking minutes. And these jamokes aren't used to going into a stadium and coming out of a stadium.
Yeah.
So that's an extra fucking 42 minutes to go in. Then I'm going to walk up there and I'm going to sit next to fucking, you know, God knows who. Because these people have been waiting for the fucking Rams. I would have gave up after 2 years. Like, I'm done. I'll go fucking watch ping pong on DirecTV or something.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we were talking about it today, how they're gentrifying that area. And they're doing, I mean, they closed the Hollywood Bowl because it was so fucking bad. Not the Hollywood Bowl, the Hollywood track. What was the name?
Yeah.
That's where they're putting the fucking stadium.
They're going from one bad area,
to the other in Englewood.
Yeah.
This does not take
I used to love going to that track on Friday nights.
Oh, for the dollar beer, dollar hot dogs. And dollar hot dogs.
I used to love that fucking track.
Until you got to walk to your car.
Yeah.
Because you win $20. That's the longest walk ever.
You cannot celebrate your wins.
Dog, those are some angry black people on that walk outside. And they just stare at you. Lee, you would die.
I went to the casino once.
And how bad was it?
They have a weird thing in California where you can bet if the dealer's going to bust. And people will come in and place a bet on that if they don't have enough money to place a, like a bet on a hand. So this dude came by, and I'm used to playing in Vegas where that bet doesn't exist. And this black dude, he just comes in, places the bet down. He's like, that's my bet. I'm like, okay. And then I was playing two hands because I'm crazy. One hand lost and one hand won or something. And he switched the, he tried to switch it, and he tried to get mad at me and take the money. And I was like, okay, this is my clue to leave. Like, I parked when I got there. There's like a valet parking and there's like a free parking. I parked myself in the valet spot because I just knew, like, I was already, that's where Paula is from. That's the girl I'm dating.
Yeah.
She lived behind it. So I was down there once a week. It's not a great place. Like, I don't know where these people who are going to go park down there and then stroll for a late night after the game. It's not going
to
be good.
You can't look. The truth is, if you want to see a Rams game, you better go now. You're not going to be able to afford the new stadium. New stadium, the seats licensing is going to be $50,000 a seat. So you're never going to afford to be able to get season tickets ever again. So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. This is the one time I'll ever say I was a season ticket holder to anything ever in my fucking life. It was really cheap, good seats. And I was like, fuck it. We'll do it. And then immediately I was like, I should have gotten two tickets. The girls will never want to go to another fucking game. And then in my head, I was like, you know, but this new seat licensing thing is going to be $50,000 per seat, and it'll be an ownership of that seat.
Every year?
That won't even, yeah, and no, one-time payment.
Okay.
So it's like buying a house. You're buying property. You're buying that property, and you will own the right to that seat in perpetuity. And then you can sell the right to your seat to somebody, or you can just get the fucking ticket. By the way, that doesn't even count that's not even the season tickets. You got to buy season tickets on top of the seat licensing. It's a fucking nightmare. So, whatever.
It's like an investment of sorts.
It's an investment, but you got to be rich as fuck to do. I mean, like, you know, I'll tell you.
Well, it's a stock market. The seats, what you do is you buy the rights to the fucking seats, then you buy season tickets. Then you could sell them at eight times the fucking face value. They don't give a fuck because you paid that 50 fucking grand. Well,
that's the thing is, like, you look at, like, Denver when they did it, it seemed ridiculous. And then now my buddy Paul was like, man, I really, really wish I had just gotten a loan and done it because they'd be invaluable. It's like, there's a long, long list long to get assisted.
They go to the Super Bowl, you're sitting, you got eyeless fucking tuition.
Yeah.
That's the reality. That's the reality because some dummy will go, I want rim tickets now.
Yeah.
You know, some celebrity on a TV show, don't know no better, never been to a fucking a sporting event, doesn't know they're going to ask him for 1,000 pictures and shit. He'll buy one of those fucking things. And then you're doomed. I don't know. Guys, I grew up at Shea Stadium. I grew up in Madison Square Garden watching Knick games, and I have. The last Laker game I went to, I paid for the fucking tickets just to go. And I got to tell you something, that I felt ripped off. I just felt violated. You know, I used to go see great Knick teams for $15, $22.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm paying $190, $180. You know, and it's not about the fucking digits. It's the principle. Yeah. It's the fucking principle. My friend here goes to Disneyland. They have that scale. Somebody was telling me the other day that they have some scale at Disneyland now. Is this true?
Oh,
like a sliding scale for payment. Like there's some days where it's more. And there's some days that it's less or something. It's like $100, he said.
I heard that was a while ago. I heard of $100, yeah.
$100 of a scale?
No, like $100 to get
in. The day he went, it was like one of the high days, so it was like $100-something.
Oh, so it's like a perfect day to go, and they jack up the prices.
They jack up the prices.
Because they know they can.
Yeah, there's something weird at Disneyland. Like they have...
Last week of summer, it is fucking slam-packed at Disney.
Really?
Everyone wants one last trip to Disney. Come on, guys.
You go a lot. You go down there?
We've gone a bunch. We got season passes to Knott's Berry Farm, which is, I think, better, in my opinion. It doesn't have the like fanfare that Disney has. Like Disney has a little bit of a story and backstory, and if you've seen the movies, you meet the princesses. For a little girl, it's ultimate. But the girls are at an age now where they just want to ride the rides, and the rides at Knott's Berry Farms are so much better. And they serve booze. I think Disney does too, but they serve booze, and the food is fucking through the roof. The fried chicken is the best fried chicken you've ever had. They've got these Knott's Berry I mean, the food is fucking phenomenal at Knott's Berry Farm.
Really?
And the rides are awesome, especially for little kids. They got like a whole section of rides for little kids that you couldn't even do all the rides.
I'm not ready yet.
Yeah, how old is she?
3 and a half.
Yeah.
I'm not ready yet to see her on a ride swinging around.
Georgia asked tonight, she goes, whoa. Is she gonna be at school with Isla? And I was like, I think she's too young. She was like, wait, how old is she? And Georgia was trying to do the math. She was like, okay, hold on. I think she's 5, Dad. And I was like, she's not 5, Georgia.
She's close to being 4, so she'll go to whatever next year, whatever, transitional K next year,
yeah.
I guess, and then who the fuck knows where she'll end up.
Starts at 95, goes to 119, and that's when it starts at. So on some days, like middle of the week, you start at 95, and on the weekends, it can start at 119.
I mean, I'll tell you what, one of the best trips I ever had to Disney, we went down there and it was sold out. It was packed and they were like, yeah, we're not selling tickets. But the girls were so young, they didn't know the difference between Disney and Disney, like Disney Walk, you know, like the shops outside.
Right, yeah.
So we just took them to the shops, bought a couple nightgowns, bought them a fucking princess, had drinks, had dinner and drove home. they were like, that's Disney? And we're like, yeah, girls, enjoy. That's it.
It's amazing to juggle this dad shit with comedy shit.
I said to Fitzsimmons the other day, I had him on my podcast.
It's fucking amazing. I don't know how the fuck I do it.
I don't know how you, because you do it the way I do it. Like me and you are the same. Fitzsimmons, he was like, I go, how do you go do sets and then wake up with the kids? And he was like, I don't. He's like, I sleep till 10. No one bothers me. I'm a dad, and that's my job is to work, and that's my job is to do sets, and that's it. I'm sure he said it differently than that, but that was what I got out of it. But me and you are still juggling like the go do sets, come home, get up at 6 a.m, be awake, get everyone going, then go back. Maybe I take a nap for me at like noon, but go work. I go work out. I come. I fucking take meetings, do a podcast. Like it's hard as fuck, man. It really is. I it's like people go look at Louis's trajectory of success. I got to be honest with you, and I think Louis would say the same thing. He didn't start really getting successful until he got out of his marriage. Because in that marriage, when you have a person saying to you, hey, you got to be responsible for this and this and this, it's really hard to justify doing a 10-minute spot, 15-minute spot in the OR and missing dinner, you know, or missing or not being available for dinner or knowing that you won't get up for drop-off because you're not going to get home until 2 a.m. or 1 a.m, you know?
You see, for me, I was married, and I didn't give a fuck. I had no idea what marriage was. I had no idea what nothing was. I thought you went home, woke your wife up, stabbed her, and then got up the next morning, whatever. I didn't know what it was. I don't think Terry would never say anything to me about my schedule.
Yeah.
I just decided the things I wanted to do as a human being. Like, I just decided. I go, I'm going to do this. But this is also what I have to do. You know, first off, if they leave and I sit there on the computer, the whole time I'm thinking about them, she's driving her to school. Like, I'm having a bad feeling.
Yeah.
So you know what? I stopped. You know what? I just go with them now.
Yeah.
I get up with them and I go with them. And then me and my wife go have coffee for 20 minutes somewhere. We talk about our day. She splits. I split. And that's the beginning of my fucking day.
Yeah.
I think it's really important. I lived in this town for 14 years before Mercy came. I took every fucking stupid jerk-off meeting. I've taken every fucking call. I did everything. One day, you start deciding what's important and what's not important. Well, I have a YouTube project I want to talk to you about. You know, sorry, brother. We can make millions on the penny program. That's great. It's not going to fucking happen in my world.
Yeah.
When do we shoot? We shoot in Calabasas. It's not going to happen unless you shoot in North Hollywood. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, one day it just snapped on me. You know, Lee and I were doing the podcast in his house, and there was a run I had on the road, which it was 8 weeks, and then 2 off, then another 6.
I remember that one, yeah.
And okay, I made some money, but the numbers went down the podcast. I gained 30 pounds because of the lack of sleep. You just gain weight. Even if you stick to your diet, you're like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
I haven't destroyed the M&Ms in the hotel room, and I gained 3 fucking pounds, you know? And I figured out, and I was still putting the time at home, and it was really fucking killing me. Like, I have a thing. If I'm home, I'm picking her up, and I'm dropping her off. Unless, of course, you have an envelope.
Yeah.
If you have an envelope at 4:30, I will. Or that means an audition. That means anything of that thing. But if I'm not getting an envelope, you're not going to see me. You're not going to see me at 5:30. People are furious at me because I won't do their podcast. But they have unreasonable podcasts. They want to tape at 5 o'clock in Culver City. You're never going to see me.
Oh, I wish I could say no to those.
In traffic. No, I have to. I have to say.
I say yes and then forget I said yes. And then they call up and they're like, so we tape in Venice at 7. And I'm like,
No.
I got to leave at 5.
No. I got the girl. I got the girls and I got dinner. Dinner with my family is more important than any fucking podcast.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I have to look at it. That's how I have to approach this shit. If not, I'm going to go on the road and make a little money, but I'm going to lose them. And what's the sense of fucking doing anything if I don't have them? So no. So now I'm trying to go two on and two off. You know, Thursday, do you think I really want to go to the L.A. fucking zoo?
No.
Or I had two options, go to the L.A. zoo, meet the rider, or go to jiu-jitsu. I had already been to jiu-jitsu twice, and they fucking killed me in the advanced class. I couldn't even walk. I went to the zoo.
Yeah.
Everybody was happy. What did we do after the zoo? We went to Boston Market. I became a, what are those women that puke after they eat?
Bulimic.
That's what I am every time I hang out with my daughter because she wants to go to Boston Market. So I got a bulimic, that fucking turkey. That, and the food's getting worse and worse. They had chicken cutlets, the worst things I ever tasted in my life.
Yeah.
Now they had something last week that I tried. What the fuck did I eat last week? That wasn't bad. I mean, it doesn't get me sick, the food. So you don't really, but my daughter likes the mac and cheese from there. So if we're on that side of town, she says mac and cheese, and me and my wife look at each other like, oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
She knows the size of town? Like, yes. She'll know me like?
Yeah.
Okay, oh, God.
She's like, Dad, there's a Kenny Rogers over here.
Kenny Rogers
I do remember Kenny Rogers. Highland Boulevard. I used to go there all the time.
On Highland?
Yeah, I used to live right by Highland.
That was the filthiest fucking place.
Kenny Rogers.
Ever. And every time you went into that Kenny Rogers, you felt worse and worse about your life. It was down the block from, what's the diner? Right there on Highland.
I don't know the diner.
What Kenny Rogers are you talking about?
No. Oh, I know the diner you're talking about. The one that's like that old schooly one.
On Highland.
On Highland and Sunset. No, Highland is Hollywood. Right by the Wax Museum.
Yes, but the Mel's? Fucking...
Dude, I've been to that. Is Mel's. It Mel's? I've been to that diner. We've had lunch there before.
I've had lunch there one time. But
I think it's a Mel's, isn't it?
It's Mel's. But in the middle of that block, Lee, was the Kenny Rogers Roasters. And I remember going there for lunch one day.
Yeah.
And the people who were in there, the people who were working. Like, it's one of those things I put the order in, and right away I look behind the kitchen. I'm like, I wonder if I can get my money back. It was too late. This thing was fucking disgusting. It was just disgusting.
I put in an order, and I guess the guy had a scab on his face.
Oh, no.
And he was itching his face. And all of a sudden, I put my order in, and he's bleeding. And I just was like,
yeah,
hey, man, you're bleeding. And he was like, huh? Like, you can't see that you're bleeding on your face? And he's just like, I go, you're bleeding. Can you go clean yourself up? Yeah. Kenny Rogers is a fucking beast.
Oh, my God. That was disgusting. Yeah, it's tough to...
Being a dad and doing all this... But right now, Mercy's at the age where you can, if you dip out for 2 weeks, she notices, but it doesn't affect her. George is at the age right now where it affects her, where she's like, wow, why you have to, like, she's really excited that tour got canceled.
Believe it or not, it affects them because they act different.
Yeah.
They told my wife at school, she goes, there's certain days she comes in and she's not the same.
Yeah.
You know, and Terrio goes, that's because he was out of town. He didn't walk or he didn't talk to her, whatever the fuck it is. So, like I said, I had a child when I was 30, and I wasn't this enthused. Like, it seemed more of a chore to me then. And because of that, it meant that I was doing the wrong thing. I was doing all the wrong moves back then. So now it's not a chore to me. I know what I have to do. This last week, we had her off. Me and my wife held it together. I would watch her from 9 to 10:30, and then she would come back from yoga. I'd go to jiu-jitsu, and we'd come back, and we'd meet and eat something, and then I'd do my fucking thing.
Yeah.
You know, my agents took me out to dinner the other night, and the whole conversation was about me doing 3 weeks a month. And I was like, guys, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I love doing my podcast. I love focusing on the podcast. I love spending time with my family. I love those weekends off. and I'm 53. When I go out there, I bang it out. Those shows are packed. I got to take a picture of everybody. You do two shows on a Friday and Saturday. When I go back to my room, I'm standing there, and my feet gnawing into the fucking floor from energy.
Yeah.
I'm sore. My hips are fucking sore. I got to go back to the room and do mobility fucking drills and take a shower at the end of the night, though. You know, and then you got to fucking get up early and catch the first flight out. All that shit runs on you, man.
It builds.
It builds. Fuck you. And those fucking planes are filled with malaria and cancer. They got radiation on those fucking planes. You know, it's like smoking 22 cigarettes every time you fly.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I started noticing I was getting bloated in my ankles on planes.
That's why you gotta sit there. When you sit there, you gotta do pump legs, because the Chinese consider the calf the pump of the bottom half of your body.
Really?
Yeah, that's why you gotta do that. You gotta do leg raises, like toe raises, when you're sitting there on a plane. So I'll sit there, and every couple minutes, that's why you get stoned, because you'll think about it.
I've never smoked pot on a plane.
No, you don't smoke pot on a plane. You eat a pot cookie and you get on the fucking plane.
I gotta try that one time.
When you sit down, you get nice and fucking baked. But you do this with your ankles when you get on a plane. And the Chinese, I learned this through acupuncture, they consider that the calf is the pump to the lower body. So your ankles won't get fucking swollen.
So you used to like do calf raises?
Yeah, right there. Right when I'm sitting there. Right there. I just do this every 22 minutes. And then every 35 minutes, I get up and walk to the fucking bathroom. And I take my time. Even if I don't have to go to the bathroom, I go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Because that's why I always sit in 1A. 1C, whatever that first aisle, yeah. The thing, that's my seat.
Bulkhead aisle.
That's my
I
seat.
I love that seat.
That's my seat.
That's my seat, yeah.
I don't give a Frenchman's fuck. And I got I'm watching that bathroom the whole fucking time, and I'm watching that little dirty bitch in there. And every time she goes to the back, I hit a vapor pen and put it right back down and blow the smoke in the blanket. You got to work it from all angles, Burke. You know what I'm saying?
I told you I just stopped drinking on planes, right?
Yeah, because it calms you down, your anxiety.
Yeah.
I can't imagine getting an anxiety attack on a plane. It is my biggest fear. In my bag, I have Xanax, Valiums, Snort, what do you call that shit? Even though I don't use it no more.
Cocaine?
No. The shit.
Oh, nasal spray.
I have every anti-anxiety thing I could have just in case. Q-tips.
That marijuana never does it? That was the only time I've ever flown on edibles was the last time we went to Austin.
I'm going
to
do it this time, too. So
I know, because you do it at 4 a.m., but it's just, that was the only time, and it wasn't real anxiety, but my heartbeat just started going, and I don't like getting up and moving on planes, so, like, especially as a bigger dude, and I was big when I...
How much weight have you lost?
About 90 pounds.
That's fucking insanely.
Thank you, man.
That's so good. You look fantastic.
I'm trying. It's my diet hasn't been as good, but I've been working out. So that's. I mean, you work out a lot. You look pretty good.
I'm the skinniest I've been in a long time, that's but awesome. I'm still fucking fat. So
it's a tough journey. Yep. It's a tough journey after a certain age, and you add that to the mix. You know, you want to take care of yourself. You know, there's not a lot of comedians that are like 20 years ago. They're not any comics that you hear weekend things anymore. You know, did you hear what Brick Reiser did? He got fucked up in Pittsburgh and puked on the second show. That doesn't exist in our business.
Oh, no. It used to be all the time.
All the fucking time. Between Mitch Hedberg and Pablo.
Geraldo. I remember Geraldo. And Geraldo in Hartford, they were like, I was like, oh, Geraldo was just here? And they were like, yeah, it was bad. He took too much Xanax. And he had to lay on the floor and did his set laying on his back on the floor because the room was spinning.
I did that in Beaumont.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, tell me that story.
You know what the most outstanding thing from the story is?
What?
That at 4 o'clock Saturday night, I called Slade Ham's brother. He was a wigger. Yeah. He's a rapper at the time. This is 2005. The longest show that just came out. I'm in Beaumont, Texas, and I told the story on Marc Maron. It was not the Marc Maron podcast and the TV show. It was not a lie or not a scripted thing. That was a personal story that I went, the guy picked me up, I got in the car, and I go, and I'm fucking lit. I had 30 Valiums, 30 10 milligram Valiums in 3 days, drinking Jägermeister. Next time you get Josh Wolf, ask Josh Wolf. Josh Wolf, tell me the story about Joey Diaz in Beaumont, Texas. They know about Thursday. I went down there. But anyway, I went to buy Coke, and they were neo-Nazis. I'm talking, it's behind Beaumont, Texas, a neighborhood behind Beaumont, Texas, so it's a little bit on the rough end.
Shit.
And I went down and Slade told me, his brother goes, listen, before we go in there, I just want you to know they ain't friendly with fucking people of your skin. I said, listen, you see this? There's $400 bills here. Everybody loves $400 bills. I don't give a fuck who you hate.
Yeah.
And I went in there and they talked to me. They even asked me my nationality. I was Cuban. I was jawing out of my fucking mind. I couldn't even talk.
Yeah.
The volumes had me going, I was talking like this. It was horrible. That was the last memory of that weekend.
Really? And then you had to do a show that night?
I did the show Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I flew in Thursday, and the kid was supposed to have the blow for me, and he goes, I got no blow. I go, what can you get me? What can you do? And he goes, I get you a Valium. He told me, and I gave him whatever the price was. And he goes, it's 30. I go, fine, just bring me 30, whatever I don't need. I'll bring back to my friend in L.A. I had a friend in Hollywood that ate Valium. I was like, I'll bring him back for him.
Yeah.
I started popping him. Popping them first night, like I ate one, then two, then I went to the fucking bar and I drank a little bit. I didn't get coked up the first night. Went back to the hotel, got up, did some radio, you know, went back to the room, felt okay.
Felt good.
Yeah, popped another one to sleep at 3.
Your nerves feel good. That's the crazy thing about those.
Slept till about 6, got up and was a little groggy. Had some coffee, had a couple fucking Camel Lights. You know, had some fucking Papados and went to the show. And at the show, I started popping. Once I knew the coke was coming, I started popping them on Friday night. Popping them. And they were in a little brown bag, so I wouldn't count them. I would just pop them like fucking Tic Tacs. Friday night, I was gone. I must have gone to bed at 1, and I slept till 3:30 the next afternoon. One of those things, you just wake up, your stomach's empty.
Yeah.
You're fucked up. Like, you need coffee, more coffee, a shower, another shower. You got to jerk off. You got to go for a walk, take another nap. It was one of those days, and I had 2 shows. And again, I went in the bag and took a handful and put them in my pocket. And the coke came. And then we did the first show. And the first show, people were sending me Jägermeisters. Beaumont, Texas, this was a great little comedy room that was owned by 2 guys. And the one guy robbed the other one. Then the guy hit him in the head with a bamboo thing. And that was the end of that fucking tune.
Sure.
Tremendous. Sure. It was first owned by 2 black people. They were very successful. A black couple with kids had a theater in Beaumont, and the kid was a bartender. And they quit the business. The kid that was the bartender opened up his own club. He's still in Houston. He's a great kid, Slade Ham. So this Saturday night, I'm at the club. I got the package. I'm not hitting it. I'm on stage still. So I wouldn't do coke on stage or before. I would do coke afterward.
Yeah.
So I do the first show, and I'm fucking hammered. Because that Valiums I took Thursday and those ones I took Friday, they're still in your system.
Oh, they don't go anywhere.
Percolating like a motherfucker.
Holding on to fat cells.
Holding on to fat cells. And every time you hit a joint, you get even more fucked up. It ignites one of those fat cells.
Every time you have a cocktail, it just pulls them out of the fat cells.
Pulls them out of the fat cells. So if you eat a 10 milligram Valium, your fat takes half of it. 5 milligrams gets released in your bloodstream. The other 5 go in your fucking fat, and they just get stored and stored, and here you are doing gin and tonics. You don't even need Cosby to show up. Nature works itself here. After 3 nights of eating Xanax, chicks will tell you they black out. I know tons of chicks who eat those Adderalls and all that shit, and they black out when they fucking drink.
Yeah.
That shit adds to it, so don't think that. So here I am, 400 pounds, sweating profusely on stage. I'm so hammered. The first show, I got to lay down. They're sending shots. I'm drinking 16 shots on stage. I'm 400 fucking pounds. I already got the 8 ball. It's fucking beige.
It's beige.
This coke was right from the cartel.
Beige.
Oh, my God. It was beige. And when it smelled through the paper, like I could smell the fucking ether right through the paper. I was like, oh, this is going to be a good night. I'm going to go back to the hotel room. I'm going to take a fucking... And I had a plane from Houston at like 7:30 in the morning.
Shit.
I'm like, I'm going to fucking snort this fucking 8 ball. I'm going to drink. And all of a sudden, I go to the fucking bathroom. I come out of the bathroom, and there's a broad waiting. And she's like, do you want to do a couple of line of coke? And I got the coke in my pocket, but she's got some. And she goes, I go, what do you want to do? You have a car? And she goes, no, my husband's here. Let's do it in the woman's bathroom. So we go in the woman's bathroom. We do a few bumps in the woman's bathroom. She leaves. And next thing you know, I fucking pass out. I get up. The coke is still there. My money's still there. The phone's ringing. I can't move.
Yeah.
It was horrible. I definitely OD'd. If it wasn't for my blood type and my experience, I would have been dead. Because I remember getting up. I was like, you got to check out or give me $48. And I just gave him like a 50. I couldn't even talk. I went back to bed, got up at 8, puked, went back to bed. I finally got up Monday and called my wife. Like, I finally called Terry, like, Monday. I'm like, Terry, you're not going to believe this. I'm fucked up.
Yeah.
And I stayed in that hotel room until Tuesday, and I had my friend come and get me and take me to this fucking thing.
So what happened with the flight?
Who knows? I didn't come to till Thursday.
Shit.
I didn't really start talking. Like, at one minute it was Saturday, and the next minute it was fucking Thursday.
Good God.
Like, that's how fucking deep I was into drugs then. But I was fucking sick till Thursday. You know what? It took me years to eat another sleeping pill after that. It was those bars.
Those Xan bars?
Those are fucking death, Jack.
Oh, dude. I had a friend addicted to those, and they wouldn't even take him in rehab.
Why?
Because benzos are the hardest to detox off of. They're real dangerous. I used to take a ton of benzos.
What are benzos?
That's the classification for Xanax and Valium, is a benzodiazepine or whatever. And so, but they're really dangerous to come off of because you can have a stroke if you're overdosing. Your body's dependent on them. It's really hard. But I had a buddy, they wouldn't even take him into rehab. They were like, they denied him rehab. They're like, tell him to get off benzos first.
Yeah, that was a rough fucking
thing. What is that you're burning?
I'm trying to burn this off, so when I stick it into the pipe, it doesn't stick and attract all the other shit in there. See, it goes nice and easy, like a knife with butter.
Yeah.
If you want your bong hit, D, you want a bong hit, or you're going to sit there like Johnny Lamont? Do a fucking bong hit with us. This is the Pure Kush from Buds and Roses, that place over on Ventura.
Wait, do you not go into the other spot anymore?
I go to Perennial, but I got to mix it up. I've been going to Perennial for the last year, and it's all the same growers. So you get used to their whole mix after a while, you know? So I said, let me try something else. Josh Wolf goes to Bud and Roses. I said, let me go up there and see what it's about. Very nice people. Very nice people. Very knowledgeable. You know, they explain everything. In fact, they explain too much. Like, they tell you too much. Like, I don't want to know this much. Just give me the shit that killed Lucifer, and I'll be on my way. They want to talk to you about histories, and they won the Cannabis Cup, and, you know.
Yeah.
But they're very nice fucking people. They're very nice people. The girl was knowledgeable. So I bought some Sonic Boom, some Pure Kush, and I said, the sativa I got was fucking really good.
Now, do you notice the difference between sativas and indigos?
Yes.
You do?
Oh, yeah, there's a huge difference.
I could smell the difference.
Really?
I could smell it in the sativa and the indica. And I could also, when I get high, like I like sativas that get me fucking stoned.
Yeah.
I don't want to smoke a sativa that dicks with me and then everybody else is like, did you feel the body high? Listen, if I want a body high, I'll kick myself in the stomach. You know what I'm saying? And release fucking my adrenals.
Yeah.
What's going on over there, D?
But it's, Bert, I had actually a question for you.
Shoot.
You seem like a very extroverted person.
Yeah.
But I listen to your podcast, and you always talk. You talk a lot about, like, feeling nervous or anxious or, like, worrying about what people think.
Yeah.
And that's my world. Like,
really?
That's, like, I was thinking about it. If we went to high school together, I would have hated you but wanted to be you.
No, you would like, me and you would have gotten along really well.
You think so? Like, in my head, you seem like a party or, like, a cool guy, and I just wasn't. It always surprises me, or it used to surprise me a lot, when people who seem to be extroverted and love being the life of the party are going through some of the same issues.
Yeah. It's so funny. I've really been regretting it, my honesty, because I've shared way too much on my podcast. Like, people know everything about me, and I started going like, oh, I should have played this cool, and just told everyone I was cool, and I was a badass, and I don't fucking have anxiety attacks on planes, and I don't drink boxes of wine, and whatever the fuck secrets I should have kept. But yeah, man, I got diagnosed with social anxiety disorder when I first moved to LA. Some doctor told me I had it, and I was like, you're out of your fucking mind. I'm a comedian. And he goes, okay. And I just left. And then I realized, oh yeah, I don't like one of the things that drives me nuts is like going to like the improv and I don't know people's names and just I get like embarrassed. I don't know their names and they know me and then going like, hey, like it and like I don't like answering my phone. I don't like checking my messages. Like I just it's like I'm kind of a neurotic regular. Like Joey knows. Like I you the half the times I do spots, Joey knows this for a fact is because Joey calls me and goes, you're coming with me. Let's go. And he just picks me up and we go to a spot. Like, I have a hard time calling him for avails. Like, just that phone call gives me anxiety.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. I used to love, not like, a lot of times you'll hear people be like, oh, I love when people canceled plans. I used to love when people wouldn't answer the phone. Like, if I would call them to like, oh, maybe we should do something. If I call them and they don't answer the phone, oh, great. I used to get, but it's weird because I would get bummed about it in high school. Like, I'd be bummed, like, oh, everyone else is out. But I would never like call someone and talk to them. No. If I wasn't at the movies or at my best friend's house, like the one friend I had, no, there's no chance of me going there.
I flew into South Africa one night and I was supposed to meet up with my whole crew and their flights got postponed. So they weren't coming in until like 24 hours later. And I literally was like, oh, I'm locking down in this hotel room. Hard fucking core.
Oh,
and I loved it. I remember I woke up, I had nothing to do all day, and we had little pools out by our we had little suites that had pools that overlooked the ocean, and I like got out my pool, and then came back, and watched a movie, and fucking had a glass of wine. It was always the fucking best. I love it. My wife calls it cave time. She's like, every man needs cave time, where like you go in, and you don't fucking talk to anybody, and you just disappear inside you, and you get small. I love that feeling.
I feel that becoming a comedian gave me social anxiety. Mm. The last 12 years.
So that's crazy because
I really believe
that's what I've lived with social anxiety forever. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that.
Even when I was creeping and I was a creepy dude and robbing people and I'd have to walk into that bar.
Right.
And three people would say, that motherfucker robbed that drug dealer. I wouldn't get anxiety. I would look at them like, who gives a fuck? Obviously, you're not doing nothing. Like, in my mind, I would give them that type of look. I didn't get social anxiety like I get now. I think the comedy over the years gave it to me. Yeah. It flipped the switch too much. It was too much. Somewhere, you get overstimulated one night, and you just don't come back. One of the roughest things for me is for me to go on the road and my behavior on the road now. It's sort of very Jack Nicholson in fucking that movie when he's just a fucking nut.
One for the Buddha
I have a, no, the other one when he's Shining. A nut. What is it?
Shining.
No, when he's a fucking writer and he's with Helen Hunt. And he washes his hands and he doesn't have friends.
He's
racist and he's fucking whatever. Well, not that I'm racist. I'm just saying that when I travel now, because of my situation, okay, if I was single when I travel now, I would be a completely different person.
Yeah.
In a couple of extremes. I wouldn't mean that I would still drink and do blow. I'm just saying that I would now, because of the situation we're in, when we're alone, I miss that, those two girls. I miss my wife and daughter. But when we call and they're at that thing and they're playing in the house and you're in the hotel room and you're just relaxing and the only thing you have on your mind, whether it's to get the steak or the chicken Florentine from room service because you're not even leaving the fucking room. Like, you've already known. Like, I'm not leaving this fucking room. I will not leave that room till the next morning.
I will not leave that room at all.
Okay, I will not leave that room at all. And people really don't understand that. Since we have so much activity, when we go on the road now, it's my peace.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to dinner. I don't want to go to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to meet you nowhere. I don't want to go to, you're not going to see me at a fucking bar. The only place you're going to see me is at the hotel gym.
Yeah.
And at the fucking hotel, whatever's downstairs or whatever's down the block. I love these people calling me, oh, this is a fantastic Cuban restaurant. How close is it to the hotel? 28 minutes. Oh. It's not happening.
Dude, people tell me.
It's not happening.
People tell me we get done the show and they're like, Bert, come out with us. I go, where are you? Unless it's the bar
across
next door to the hotel or next door to the club I'm at, I'm not getting in a car driving to downtown Pittsburgh.
No.
Yeah. I got stuck in Omaha. No, I got stuck in Des Moines for like 2 days because of weather. And man, it was beautiful. The girls weren't home. They were on the road. So I was just flying. They were like in Tampa or something. And I got up and they called me and they said, your flight's been postponed. We're trying to get you on a flight tomorrow, but all flights today have been canceled. And we're having a hard time. We may not be able to get you out until Wednesday. And this is fucking Monday morning. And I go, you know what? Don't worry about it. And I sat in a hotel Monday and Tuesday. And I like planned out my day. I was like, I'm going to the movies. I'm going to go to Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm going to go look at shoes over the Nike outlet. I'm going to go back into my room. I'm going to take an Ambien at fucking 6 and go to sleep. Wake up at 2 in the morning. Go see if I have a glass of wine and watch it. Like, I just love that shit. Disappearing, man.
I know I have some type of social anxiety, but I'm not going to go get a pill for it.
Yeah.
I just deal with it. Yeah. I just deal with whatever. If my body says I'm not in the fucking mood, you're in no danger.
Oh,
and guess what? I'm not in the mood for anything.
Yeah.
I'm not in the mood for anything.
Ever.
Ever. Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, I'm not in the mood. I cannot go to see a movie at a premiere. All those social type events, those days.
Dude, I look at...
long gone.
I wish I had... You know who's really good at it? Is Brendan Schaub. He goes to like movie premieres all the time and loves that. And I just look at it and I go, I wish I loved it. I would be sitting. I guess if you're like a, if I guess if I had his resume. Listen,
going to a premiere and being in the movie and sitting there is two different fucking situations.
Yeah.
Two different fucking situations.
Wait, what do you mean?
Being in the movie.
Yeah.
And now you got to sit there with 200 fucking people who are sitting looking at you every time the movie comes on. I was on a fucking plane one time and by the grace of God, Grudge Match was on.
Yeah.
Grudge Match is on. It's in the fucking plane. And I'm sitting there next to Rogan. And Rogan is like, isn't this the movie you're in? I'm like, nah. And all of a sudden, he goes back to bed and I'm sitting there. And I could see the chicks next to me, like, looking. And all of a sudden, at one point, they go. And I'm like, I didn't even know what the fuck to do. When you go to a premiere and you have to sit there and look at your shitty fucking movie and make believe it's funny. And the people behind you are laughing at your jokes because they know you're sitting there. Kind of fucking disgusting. I'll tell you what, but the best was De Niro at Grudge Match premiere. Out cold.
Slept?
Out cold.
Are you serious?
The movie started, his head tipped back, and next thing you know, I saw his mouth open up like the fat dude in Seven. Remember when they found the fat dude? His mouth opened up. It was like that. And he fucking slept throughout the whole movie. When the movie got up, he was tip-top Magoo. He was shaking hands and taking pictures like he enjoyed the fucking movie.
Shut up.
Hey, listen, who wants to sit and watch? That's the whole thing.
I don't want
to sit. Going to a premiere, listen, if Bert Kreischer says to me, I'm in a fucking De Niro movie, I'm in a Stallone movie, I'm in a Jason Statham movie, my wife can't go, will you go with me? I would go with you because I know what you're going to go through.
Yeah.
And I could calm you down while you're there a little bit. I know exactly what to do. I get up.
Yeah.
I talk. I act like Lee acted at that fucking gas station. You said you acted weird with Paula. Like, here I am sitting at the premiere of The Longest Yard, and next to me is Cameron Crowe, the guy from Gladiator.
No.
Yeah, that's
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe's where Damon is, okay? And I'm sitting behind the producers of The Longest Yard. This is how retarded I am. I'm sitting there like this, and all of a sudden Terry goes, look to your left. And I look to my left, and it's Russell Crowe, and I go, holy shit. But the best thing, he had just shot Cinderella Man.
Oh, yeah.
Cinderella Man is about a movie about a guy in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
That was, we all grew up. We used to shovel his fucking driveway. He'd give us dollars in the winter.
Yeah.
Whatever that guy's name was. And he had the jacket on that said Cinderella Man, North Bergen, New Jersey, and something else. And I look over him and go, hey, man, that movie you did about whatever the fucking guy's name
was. Iceman.
No. The one about the fucking boxer.
Yeah.
The one about the boxer.
Fucking Roy or
Hudson. Henry Hudson Park. No. What the fuck is it?
What was it, Lee? Cinderella Man. Type in Cinderella Man.
Yeah, type in the name of Hudson. What the fuck is it now? Jesus Christ, I'm getting old. Not Cinderella
Man. There you go. That's it.
Cinderella Man.
What's the name of the fucking star of the movie?
Russell Crowe.
James Brabson.
Braddock. Braddock Park is a park in my hometown in North Bergen because he lived by there.
Yeah.
So when I saw the jacket, I go, hey, man, that fucking movie you did, that's going to be the movie of the year. And the producers of my movie are sitting in front of me. And they all turn around like, what the fuck did you just say to
him? Yeah.
And I was like, nah, dog, it's about a guy from where I grew up. I grew up with all his grandkids. I'm not kidding you. There were two of them were cops. They all lived there afterwards. Who gives a fuck?
That's the difference between you. I don't know if you have social anxiety as much as you don't fuck around with idiots.
Well, no, that's how
That's
how I take care of my anxiety.
Yeah.
By acting completely out of the box. Everybody knows I would never say two words to that fucking Russell Crowe or anybody else of that stature.
Yeah.
I would sit there and watch the movie. If he said something to me, then I'd say something to him. But I would never tap him on the shoulder and go, I love Gladiator. Can I take a picture? I wouldn't do that to the poor guy. The guy's trying to sit there and enjoy a fucking movie.
Yeah.
But that's what I said to him. And I remember I did that so I wouldn't get that anxiety. But the thing that broke me out of that was one night I just happened to turn Letterman on. And Fucko was on there.
Who?
The guy who thinks he's 20, but he's really 90. Doug Stanhope hangs out with him.
Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp is on there. And he's talking about that. Letterman's like, so this movie you just did, how does it look? Yeah, another bracelets and eye makeup. You're fucking 55, bro. Leave it alone. You're not kidding nobody.
I love that he just said fucko and we tried to guess it.
Yeah, he shows up at
Fucko's fucking, on there.
He shows up at Marilyn Manson bands with bracelets on and t-shirt. But you know what, bro? He's not a bad guitarist. I gotta give you that much.
Johnny Depp is across the board a fucking great actor.
Oh, no, he's tremendous.
Yeah, he's an amazing actor.
Did I fucking say it was a bad actor?
No. Fucko. You started calling him Fucko.
Fucko. Well, I don't know him, the guy, but he's a nice guy. You know, Fucko. He'd understand.
It's a game Joey has, just figuring out what.
That should be a game show. Joey describes celebrities, and you go, Fucko. He thinks he's 20, but he's really 50.
So what are we talking about him?
I don't know. Oh, you saw him on Letterman.
I saw him on Letterman. He was talking about. Letterman said to him, when you shoot your fucking movies, do you watch them? And he goes, I don't watch dick. And Letterman goes, wait a second, what are you talking about? You don't watch dailies? He goes, listen, I don't watch dick. And Letterman goes, but you're, what's his name?
Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp. And he goes, listen, I don't want to see me, and I don't want to hear my fucking voice. He didn't say fucking, but he meant it like. And right there, I gain confidence because that's what I have.
Yeah.
As soon as I hear my voice, I got to go.
Oh, dude.
A minute and a half. Not even. 1 minute is all I need to do is hear your voice, especially when somebody else is in the room. That's even more embarrassing when somebody else is in the fucking room.
Wow.
So he said it. He goes, I don't watch nothing because it tears me apart. He goes, I shoot it and I go home.
Yeah.
So I knew there wasn't something wrong with me. I knew that somebody else suffered from this shit. I just don't like it. I went to premieres, and they were fun, but they were for shit I shot, which really puts a little fucking pressure on you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then, like, for Spider-Man 2, they were asking me to do other, like, things, and I said, no, I couldn't. I couldn't handle it. I had one fucking scene in the movie. What am I going to go make believe like I'm the star of the fucking movie for?
Yeah.
So I went to the cast and crew. And then I went to the regular premiere. But they were like, do you want to go to the New York premiere or whatever? Because Oprah liked that scene.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, fuck no. I'm too embarrassed to fucking do that shit. So I didn't go to that one. I went to Grudge Match because it was De Niro. I had to go out of respect for him.
Yeah.
Fuck Stallone. Fuck everybody else. I had to go for him. And I went to The Longest Yard. And that was just embarrassing.
Why?
Because I was 400 pounds. I couldn't fit in a tuxedo, so I had to wear a warm-up suit given to me by Big Daddy. You know, the whole night I was there, I wanted to snort, but I couldn't, and everything was there. Like, everything was there.
Yeah.
Free booze, champagne, pills, narcotics, steroids. I could have done whatever I wanted to. And I
so why didn't you?
Because I didn't want to show Adam that. He put me in this fucking movie, you know. I didn't want him to even see a dab of me under the fucking influence. And there'd be other people there, and they would wait for me to do that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like,
they knew they were suspect that I was a junkie. But they had never seen it with their own eyes. This is what they're expecting. This is your channel. Everybody's going there going, I wonder what the fuck if he's going to be doing blow tonight. So I can't do blow. I would always keep him tricked. And then somebody would say, so he's a junkie. Well, he was at the premiere. He wasn't even drinking. And he seemed okay to me. You know what I'm saying? So it's when they expect you and you don't get fucking high. That's the whole trick of it. So I wouldn't get high.
You don't want them to have the ammunition to say, no, yeah, you should have seen him. On the biggest night of his life, he was fucking hammered.
Fucking hammered. But just not hammered. With your jaw going from side to side, you're 400 pounds, you're sweating profusely. People know. People fucking do know. I mean, yeah. If you would have told me this 10 years ago, I would have said, nobody fucking knows. I'd get away with it. No. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. Your skin color changes. I see people now, and I know who's doing blow.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I got shows now. Now I see them, and I know they're doing blow by two ways, their actions and the color of their skin, because I recognize it from the color of my fucking skin. Where's Tony Bennett, cocksucker?
Oh, what time is it?
It's late. It's late, but early.
Do you put this in the... I like this.
To pick up the pieces... When somebody breaks your heart.
It's clogged up. I gotta fucking take it home and boil it. Fucking catch blood or some shit.
Twice as smart as I. A somebody who will swear to be true. As you used to do with me.
How you doing, Bert?
Who'll leave you to learn?
Doing good.
That misery loves company.
How are you feeling?
I'm pretty good. It's not. I'm not going crazy, which I thought I'd be going fucking.
You were making a couple fucking noises again, and I heard them. I didn't know what was going on.
I saw you at the very beginning of this, and you, when Joey said something, you closed your eyes, and I was watching you try to ride the inside of your eyelids.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. No, there's been a couple moments where I've been a little out of it.
Now, when do you shoot your special?
I shot it.
When?
I already shot it.
When?
Like 2 months ago.
Oh, okay. That's what you were saying. I thought you're starting new material for
the new hour. But I got to be honest with you, it's going slow.
Oh, it always does if you only go out one night a week.
Yeah.
If you go out 6 nights a week, you'll get 10 minutes a fucking week. That's what I always figured out myself.
Really?
I wanted to go to the Comedy Store 2 nights a week. Well, when you walk in there, you got to follow Dave Chappelle or Rogan.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You going to try your story about Isla at 11 o'clock at night? You don't have the heart to.
No.
So you catch yourself doing the same fucking material, but yeah, you don't want to look like an asshole. So what I did was cut out the store one night or two. And now I go to different haunts, like we go to Tuesday nights to the Black Horse, whatever the fuck it's called. And you do 30 minutes, 20 minutes. And it's something different. I don't have to feel like fucking CAA is in the fucking room or whatever. I don't need that aggravation.
You told a joke the other night. I don't even know if it was you meant to tell it, but I had written a joke similar to it on Saturday. But my joke was so much weaker than your joke. And as soon as I heard it come out of your mouth, I was like, fuck. I was like, son of a bitch, man. I need to get on stage more. Because you just riffed it. I don't even know if you would even remember it. But as soon as I heard it, I went, motherfucker, I got to fucking hustle. I want to start doing the ha-ha more again, too.
If I tell you something.
Yeah?
The ha-ha is where I got the best at.
Yeah?
You tell how you want to close the shows on the weekends.
Yeah?
Tell how I'll close both fucking shows. Basically, but more importantly, I'll close the late show. Let me do 2 spots somewhere else.
I like the ha-ha energy.
Yeah. If you go to, and I like the ha-ha on Wednesday nights, it's a great place. Yeah. It's a great place to
That's
work.
That's Jack Jr.'s night.
That's Jack Jr. Right now, I'm to the point in my life that I can't do something for 6 weeks. Like right now, if somebody came to me and said, Joey, we have a sitcom, it's going to be 11 weeks. Okay, 11 episodes. How many episodes am I doing? 8. Can I do 5? Like, you follow me up to that point? Because I know. You get to an age and you know.
Yeah.
They come to you with all this shit and money and you're like, you know, let me tell you something. Listen, I appreciate this and I appreciate that and I appreciate this, but I can't cover that spread.
Yeah.
If I had to do the whole outball tour, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. Waking up in fucking West Palm and I got to take a plane to Tampa, then waking up again and taking an 8-hour car ride. That's tough for 3 or 4 weeks in a row. You earn your fucking geetus. I was dreading that shit. You know why? Because I can't do that no more. I can't do that no more. I could basically go into a comedy club Thursday through Sunday morning. You got 5 good shows out of me. If I go on the road for 3 weeks in a row, I feel bad those third week because I become a robot. I really don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I really don't want to do it. I do it because they trick me. They switch the week. They'll give you an extra $500, you know, and you're like against yourself. And when you're there, you're burnt out.
Yeah.
I could do two on, two off all day long.
I can do three in a row. I can do three in a row. Two on, one off's great.
Two on, one off? No.
I can do two on, one off, two on, one off.
I can do two on, two off right now at this point in my life. Two on, one off is fucking tough.
I'm doing three in, like, right when, what is it, September? What are we in? August, right, September, now. October. In October, I start back up again. Like, I'm off. I do one date, I think, in very beginning of September. September 9th, 10th, 11th, I'm in Toledo. And then I'm off until, and then I go on Cowhead's Cruise for a week. And then I start up hard in October. I do three on, one off.
I can't believe you already have New Year's.
Yeah.
Jesus, you're a bad motherfucker.
No. You know what it is? I don't know. I'll tell you off air. It's not. I'll tell you off air.
So you do have New Year's?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, but I don't have it in New Year's. Nobody's even offered me a fucking New Year's.
Really?
But you know what, man? If you come to me with New Year's, I tell you again, I think I'll turn it down anyway. And I think my agent already put that buzz. I told him the truth. I want the Ice House,
yeah,
the back room at 8 o'clock.
I got offered New Year's originally, real early, but it was just a conversation with Grossman. And he just talking about it. He's like, hey, you want to do New Year's? We were in the same room together. And I was like, yeah. And the only reason it took off is that he offered me, I thought, pretty solid money. But someone said they could get me more money, and they were like, let's see if we can get you more money. I told Grossman, I said, I'm going to see if I can get more money. And he was like, that's fine. And I got more money, but it was 2 months ago that I got New Year's. But it was all based on Mark Grossman just saying, hey, do you want to do New Year's? In like, I think it's in Philly. So, but you know, I'm a good New Year's X. I drink. So I think some clubs are like, let's grab him for New Year's now, real early at a low price, before he's got a New Year's booked. So
it's really crazy how when you drink on stage, beer sales or alcohol sales like 50% more.
Through the fuck.
And it kills me that I'll do a shot or two from time to time, but I can't put them down like you no more.
Oh, I put them down.
You go to Texas and you start toasting them, they'll do one for one.
I just started working in Texas again. I'll do it next year. San Antonio? I've never done it before. You ever done San Antonio?
17 years ago.
LOL?
This was a different one. This was the river, the center, the mall.
Yeah, I'm doing San Antonio for the first time. And I'm excited, too, because, you know, our podcast numbers are big in Texas. Like, well, I imagine we probably have the same podcast demographics, like Ohio.
You don't go to Houston or Dallas?
Never. I used to go to Dallas a bunch, and I got one complaint. And they stopped bringing me in. I take that back. That's inaccurate. I did get a complaint, and I don't think I did it the next year. But they've given me offers, and I've canceled on them. So, you know, and my guy in Texas was Trey, but then I think he got fired for something.
Yeah, he got fired.
But that was the guy. I love Trey. I thought he was great. And then in Houston, I used to do Laugh Stop.
But Pete.
Pete Pirelli. You remember him? Yeah, he just texted me the other day. He's got a new wife.
Pete was one of the best comedy club owners I ever worked for.
Dude.
Towards the end of my cocaine reign.
Oh, he was.
He had the best club in the world. And Pete, and the guy who had it before him, it was also a big drug,
Babbitt,
alcohol club. When you went to Houston for 5 days, oh my God.
Yeah.
You were going to come back fucking. See if you could see Joey Diaz's cold case. From 2000, if it, somebody put it up online, I want to show you what I look like.
Really?
After being in Houston for 2 weeks.
Dude, Pete.
Between the sugar and the Jägermeister, the fucking two eggs with french fries and toast at the Greek place.
Yeah.
And the fucking, the kolaches and the fucking this and that and this and that. Listen, it's a goddamn shame. It's a fucking shame. That club, that was probably, I did more drugs at that fucking club than any club ever. And then Pete Pirelli took it over. And Pete used to let me stay at his partner's house. They said you could stay at the hotel. They gotta come get you, or
you can stay in the condos where he lived with his wife and his parrot.
Across, I used to stay across the hallway.
He was a big video gamer.
Oh my god! And they'd fucking see me the next day and go, "Did you call a pizza last night in the middle of the night?" And I go, "No, why?" And they go, "Oh, we heard cars. That's my drug dealer." I would never tell them, you know. Go ahead and run it. Watch how big I was.
This is 2000? This is
2 weeks.
Went straight. Got a license.
2 weeks after fucking being in Houston.
Where are you with Dorian?
This is what I would look like. Swollen from the salt.
This is 2000?
2002. 2003, maybe.
See if you can find this cab driver. We'll go visit ADA Kite and find out about that search warrant for Mr. Wrigley's backside.
I'll never forget that morning. And my girlfriend at the time picking me up going, "Joey, you gained like 20 pounds.
Don't take the first hack in line.
Yeah, you're the hack we want, Ken.
Do us a favor. Step on out of there."
I was like, "Ralphie." Oh, holy shit.
Remember Benny the Nose, Ken?
Oh, Joey.
From the Bell. Yeah, I remember.
Oh,
Benny.
Yeah.
Yeah, turns out he was murdered before the fire broke out.
Look at the sides of my stomach.
Ain't it?
Look at my neck.
What's it got to do with me?
We heard you didn't like him.
Is that a crime? He was uppity.
Because he was a Jew?
Joey.
Because he was a drag.
That was a long fucking time ago,
my friend. Coke for Cheney, right?
Relax, isn't a drug bust.
Well, yeah.
Look at the size of my stomach. I had no chest.
You, though.
Hey. I couldn't breathe. I ain't denying a little extra cash selling merchandise from Mr. Cheney.
Except you used more than you sold. Ended up owing Cheney a lot of money.
Heard you had a real love.
God damn, Joey. You don't even look at... You don't.
I'm off the...
Oh, you want to turn this off, Nolly? Enough with fucking watching this. I'm embarrassed enough. That's me after 2 weeks in Houston, Texas.
Wow. What does it make you feel like when you see that? I hate looking at pictures of myself when I was like...
I was a complete different person, man. I was running with fucking D-Van. When I shot this, this is 2003.
Yeah, 2000. Around the time Scare Tactics was
still. Yeah, yeah. How fucking scary. That's right. You used to work down there.
That's I used right. to love that club. That was the first place that headlined me.
Me too. Me too.
That's the first place. I got the, I came in. Dane Cook was supposed to do a date, and he backed out for the last minute. And they plugged me in, and I went in and I did. I had a good time, but I drank a lot. And I remember Pete saying, "Your numbers weren't good, but my bar sales were the same." As like, so he's like, "I'll have you back." And then he said, "You just had a baby. I'll bring." This was 2004. He's like, "I'll bring you in. I'll bring you in for Thanksgiving. I'll pay you $3,000." Which, by the way, for people not knowing anything about comedy, if you for your second time headlining to make $3,000 is ridiculous.
Ridiculous. That's
and
ridiculous.
He said, "I'll put you up. You can bring the baby down." It was Thanksgiving, George's first Thanksgiving. We stayed in a hotel room, and we got Thanksgiving delivered to our room for free. It was part of the package. And, dude, we ate 3 Thanksgiving meals that day. It was one of my favorite weekends on the road ever. I walked away with $3,000, and I was like, we're fucking rich. But yeah, Pete was good to me. He was really good to me.
Really good to
and,
me.
And
really
we, good we to drank me. Hard.
I still talk to Pete.
I texted him the
I
other
talked
day.
To Pete once a month out of respect. Pete's wife used to work for Pepsi. So they she got divorced. Tickets. They got divorced.
They got divorced. This is how close I was with Pete and his ex-wife. They got divorced, and she called me the one time Pete brought me in and picked me up with her friend and took me to dinner by themselves to tell me that they were getting divorced. And I was like, oh, fuck. She was like, listen, I still want to be friends with you. I bought Georgia some presents. And I gave me presents for Georgia. And I went. And Pete was like, it's all cool. I heard you guys went to dinner. Like, you know, just, you know. But, man, that was really fun. And I was just, I'm working with Bob Bickerstaff, Jerry Rocha. First time I worked with Jerry Rocha was at one of those.
I talked his wife the first time into taking a picture of her ass with a thong on at the Houston Lab Stop. I tormented Pete's wife so much. I kept saying, listen, though, I got to take a picture of your ass. And finally she turned around and started taking them off. My face got pale because now Pete would know.
Yeah.
And Pete knew it. He didn't say nothing. He just giggled about it. She's got a great ass, doesn't she?
I remember I worked with Kathy Griffin one time there. And so, like, I was headlining. She must come in on a Wednesday. Pete's like, come in Wednesday, feature for Kathy, and then you do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I was like, okay. So I come with Kathy. It's sold out. Sold out. And it's it's all gay dudes. It's not a woman in the room. It's all gay dudes. And I was very young in comedy. And I just, I don't know, you get like, you're like, I'll go up, I'll do like a gay joke, or I'll, like, I'll break the ice. I just walked up on stage and I was like, what's up, faggots? And it went, and Kathy like pulled me aside. She's like, why would you say that? And I was like, I don't know. I was trying to say something cooler. Like, I was trying to let them know that I was cool, but I wasn't going to take shit. And she was like, listen, next show, because we had two shows on a Wednesday. She was like, next show, just come up and be nice to them. I worked with Kevin Sesha, was her feature act. And I went up and I was like,
well, hey, first of all, the gay people from that neighborhood are from Montrose.
Yeah.
And they were very, I used to go to all the restaurants in Montrose, best food and fucking, or they have a restaurant called Maxwell's. Something like that. And they had the best fucking meatloaf. And while I was eating, I'm like, these gay guys are coming in this meatloaf. But I don't give a fuck. It's that good. This HIV meatloaf is banging. But I don't give a fuck, Jack. So I would do well in front of the Montrose crowd. In front of the gay audience. And, you know, I would just talk dirty and fucking be crazy and talk about coke and eating ecstasy. And they took the ride. But that neighborhood there is a strong gay neighborhood.
Really, like, strong, yeah.
Really fucking strong. They come out and they smoke dope and they fucking do everything. So, yeah. And you know what? I remember one time I didn't get into somebody. You know, like when you get with a heckle, you heckled, and I heckled him back. And I said, what did you drive here in? And he goes, in a Volkswagen. I go, you and four other fags in a Volkswagen together, somebody sucked somebody's dick. And I had him and I ran with it. But they are already...
Yeah.
Like me. You know what I'm saying?
I used to make, man, I did my first album, which is horrible. If you listen to it, it's called Burt, Burt, Burt. Get download. It is horrible. It's not bad, but you can hear how
you
young
taped
I
it
am.
In Houston.
In Houston.
Yeah, everybody. That was the home for CDs back then.
They'd record all your shows.
All your shows.
And it was really good recording because I think Babbitt has stuck it up, set it up for Hedberg. And so all Hedberg's albums were recorded there. And so I did my album out of there. I edited it myself. I had a guy master it for me. But yeah, that fucking, it's crazy. You know, it's crazy to think where, like, that was back when, like, someone was like, you could have a CD, and you would go, like, how could I have a CD? Like, I don't have, no one signed me to a deal to have a CD. Now you look at it, you're like, I'll just record my shows and release it as a CD. Like, now it's so simple. Like, we did that. Not to get too metaphysical, but like this whole thing you're talking about, like Johnny Depp not watching him. I shot something the other night, just a fucking gag. I thought it would be funny. I posted it, and it got like fucking 600,000 downloads on Facebook, and then fucking 400 retweets or 600 retweets on Twitter, and now my agents email me and they're like, do more of this shit. And you're like, I was just fucking around. Technology's changed so much. You can have a bullshit idea, shoot it as a joke, put it up. I don't care if it gets 3,000 views. That just means no one saw it, so I'm not embarrassed. I fucking put it up, and then all of a sudden it goes, I mean, not viral, but like viral for me. And then all of a sudden, it's all over the map. And then your agents are like, do more of it. Do more of that shit. I just think this business has changed so fucking much. And then you overthink it. Then that thing goes big, and you go, I got to shoot another one. And you overthink it, and you're like, fuck. Then you're in your head. You're like, I don't know how to do it. But
those videos, they're great to shoot. Damon and I shot 200 of them. It's just that you need, if you're going to put them out, they need to be heat. You know, they need to be heat. And some people do well with them, and then they start releasing them too much.
Yeah.
And then it dies.
It needs it's to really be. Weird. Yeah, that's the hard part. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, what happened was there was the Speedo, Ryan Lochte thing went down. And my buddy Josh Temple is on HGTV and DIY. He knows I fuck around in speed. I wear Speedos all the time. And he goes, hey, Bert, I don't know if you've heard, but there's a hole in their roster. I have these like two videos that are really funny with drone shots that I just shot fucking around for Trip Flip. And so I I post it, one of the videos, and it gets like good. I get like maybe like 400 retweets. I was like, that's a lot. For me, that's a lot. And then I know I have another one, so I post another one. And then I was like, oh, shoot, this fucking offer to Speedo. I just shot it, like, probably did four takes. I used one of the takes, beginning to end, post it, and then that's when it blew up, and then you start overthinking it. Once you overthink it, you're fucked. You just, like, you're like, ah, fuck it, I guess I'm done with this project. Like, why overthink it and make it bad? Let's end on a high note, you know? And then my wife's she's like, get Joey. Like, the whole premise is I'm pitching Speedo to be their new spokesperson. Like, because they lost Ryan Lochte. And I was like, I'll fill that hole. And I was like, I can't swim. I'm not that good looking in a Speedo, but I'll wear Speedos 24 hours a day as long as I'm under contract. And I was like, my agent's Max Stubblefield. Call me UTA. And then Leanne goes, what you got to do is you got to do one where Joey is your agent, Max Stubblefield, and he just does it and it fucking blows up. He's like, listen, cocksuckers, you signed this motherfucker. Like, does a Joey rant, and you just stand there in a Speedo in your hero pose, and Joey's just like the Puff Daddy, like, this motherfucker, look at him, look at his mother, look at his stomach. Like, just a rant. And I was like, yeah, but then you start going like, yeah, but then, I don't know.
What if we tank?
Yeah,
and
right.
We look like two fucking idiots. We might as well get a fucking jersey and go to a game.
Right.
If the team loses, we got to get on the train.
Like, you just go fuck
and
it.
Drive home on the train with that loser shirt on and shit.
People why not staring just, at yeah. going, why not just do a podcast? What we like doing. Yeah, just do
no,
that.
No. It's.
Lee, can you pull up my Speedo offer?
Oh, yeah.
I saw it the other day.
Yeah.
I didn't think you were talking. I didn't know what the fuck you were talking about right. at first. And you said that. I thought you had shot something with the girls.
No. It's this. Don't pull it. You don't need to pull it up.
Okay.
Let me give some fucking shout out to you.
Are we wrapping this up?
Couple minutes. You can drink another one. Open that motherfucker up. Lee's ready to drink. Lee, how's those chocolate mushrooms treating you? What do you think, dog? Talk to me.
They're pretty good. I mean,
you want another bite?
Absolutely.
Let's do it. Let's go see the devil. Why not? You're as tough. Let's finish this motherfucker. Once and for fucking all, man. It's Sunday night. Here's a fuck. I gotta mix it with the edible leaf. That's the only way it's good for me. That's how I ate it. That thing tastes like fucking. The mushroom chocolate tasted a little funky.
I just swallowed it with water. It tasted like it didn't taste good.
Huh?
It didn't taste good. I just swallowed it with water.
Fuck yeah. But it's got some kick to it. It's got some fucking kick to it. I don't know what the fuck Bert's talking about. But it's got some kick to it. Before I was looking at you, Bert, and you were starting to look like your father. I'm like, holy shit.
Shit.
But I see you over there making funny noises and sweating.
Yeah, I'm just
sweating. I'm sweating. I've been sweating a lot lately. I just started drinking again.
How long were you sober for?
Oh, not long. Like 3 weeks.
Your body going to shock?
Yeah, kind of. My body was like, I think it was like, hey, are we going to party, man? Like, we have nothing to look forward to. Let's fucking get down.
So did you get like that? Because I survived on fast food and shit. I'm sweating up.
You don't even want to touch it, do you?
Not really.
Are you eating that whole thing?
Yeah, I'm going to eat the whole thing. It always used to surprise me when people would be like, oh, I went to McDonald's and I feel like shit. I would go there once a day.
Oh, no. I'm the exact opposite.
So alcohol does make you feel like shit?
No, not at all. Like, I did a podcast with Christina Pajinski, and I talked about it, so it's not like I'm telling a secret, but I don't want to tell it more than I have to. But like, what happened is I kind of quit drinking, and I felt healthy, but I just wasn't like cheery. I didn't like, I was just like, I don't know. I got home and I was like, time to go to bed, everybody. And then we go to bed at 8, and I'd wake up at 6. I'd be like, okay, I'm up. Coffee, and like, it just didn't turn a corner. What are you laughing at?
He's laughing at me because he's watching me struggle trying to take this.
I'm telling you, Lee, eat it with this mint chocolate. It goes down a lot easier. I did it one shot.
You do everything in one shot, though.
Because it's less painful. You put too much pain, you get all psyched.
Go for it, Lee.
Go, Lee. I'm telling you, you should eat it with a piece of fucking. See, it tastes like
you're eating it like a pterodactyl.
Yep, it doesn't taste good.
It doesn't taste good?
Mm-mm.
Just let it melt in your mouth, all over your tongue. Have some of that chocolate with it,
Lee. I'm telling you, Lee, this is the way to do it.
That's pretty.
Oh.
That is a picture of why kids shouldn't do drugs.
Hey, if you're under 18, get off of YouTube right now. Oh my God. I still got to go to the comedy store. How do you think I feel?
What are you doing? Is it stuck on your tooth?
Yeah. I don't want, and it has mushrooms in it. And they taste like garbage anyway, so I don't want to like close my mouth and get mushrooms. So I have to like get it out of my teeth. Oh, yeah.
Lee, you are the funniest man I know, truly. They have to give you your own show on fucking Sirius soon. Ethan Buzzard, Matthew Oliveris, John Cutler, my main man, Lorinda Lilly, Robert Sasso, Crystal Jordan, Crystal Oaks, you sexy savage, and Uki Spooky down there in Austin. We're like fucking 18 days away from Austin, and we're like 24 days away from New York City. But I'll see you cocksuckers Wednesday night at the Ice House. Be there or be square, 8:30. What else is going on with you? Sorry about that. I got a little emotional. That mushroom made me take off there for a minute. I love this shit. That was great.
What?
That's a little piece of mushroom. I got nice and giggly before.
Mushrooms are way, like, honestly, if you are a person who doesn't like edibles, mushrooms, obviously, I haven't taken, like, a huge dose, so I can't speak from that. But if you're going to take a little mushroom or a little edible, take mushrooms. It's lighter. Like,
well, it is lighter. The edibles, I think, are more like, I feel them in my tits and asshole. Like, mushrooms are more like, hey, oh, they're shadow people.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I never thought, I always enjoyed, I don't like mushrooms at night. I'd rather mushrooms during the day. But, yeah.
First off, you and I can't do mushrooms at night because we've got the kids walking around.
I can't do mushrooms.
I can't do that shit at all with Mercy around. I could catch the tail end of a pot cookie and Mercy's going to bed or something like that. I get anxiety when she jumps on me or something. But besides that, I could never do anything like that around. I would have a heart attack.
Oh, I can't do.
I would have a heart attack. I'm going to have to stop smoking soon or figure something different out.
Really?
Now that I have the back room, I could stash it. I'm thinking of getting a safe so she can't get the gummies. She can't get nothing. Stash it. And I'm trying to figure out. She knows I'm going outside to smoke.
She knows?
She looks at my hand.
She doesn't know what it is.
No, but she looks at my hand when I walk back in all the time. And she does in a Diaz manner. So I know I know the look. Do you know what I'm saying? You know the look. She could be watching TV up close. And as soon as I come in, she'll just go like that and look at my hand and look at me and look back at the TV. She doesn't say nothing. But she don't need. A wink is as good as a nod to a blind horse. You understand me?
Yeah.
I know because I knew.
Yeah.
That's how when I used to go to my mother's bar, that's how it starts. Mom, why do three guys at one time go to the bathroom? And then she would tell them the next day, guys, be careful around them because he's a little cop. You know what I'm saying? I would go back to my mom and go, Mom, I was talking to Elio and he had rings around his nose. And my mom would go, no, he was probably, he had a booger or something. The next day I would hear my mom, hey, tell Elio not to fucking do blow in front of Kokoko because he watches. He's like a little fucking cop. Oh, in those days, I used to be a torture chamber. I didn't like marijuana. I liked as a kid, not to smoke, but I liked it because my favorite person in the world, that was his only vice. And he had nobody had a better time smoking pot than the guy who baptized me in a church. Nobody. I've never seen anything like that. If I had a videotape of him rolling, smoking it, and then his attitude 10 minutes later, everybody would smoke pot. I never saw anything like that. He's really the main reason that I thought in my head it was okay to smoke pot because he wasn't a boozer. He sold drugs, I think. I was too young. But right after my dad died, he'd pick me up every Saturday and take me to the movies or the amusement park. I mean, he was a real godfather. I mean, he was committed to it.
Yeah.
And then he would go on these little prison things, and my mom would tell me he's in California or Miami, and they would get out and they would start the same relationship again with him for 2 or 3 years. But when I was about 5 or 6, he would take me to all those James Bond movies. Her Majesty's Secret Service. And
really?
Fucking Mr. Fuji died.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see that? Mr. Fuji died. That was really one of the baddest scenes I've ever seen when he was throwing a hat.
Wait, pull up Mr. Fuji.
Mr. Fuji. That's one of the greatest scenes. And then they gave him a cough. They gave him a, when I was a child, they gave him a Formula 44 commercial. and he'd be coughing. He'd break up the whole house, karate chop it, and then they would stop it by giving him Formula 44.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
Formula 44, I remember that.
Come on now. What the fuck you think? Put in Mr. Fuji Formula 44. I'm coming at you motherfuckers heavy duty. If you don't know what Formula 44 is.
Oh, I thought you were talking about James Bond, Mr. Fuji.
Yeah, same Mr. fucking Fuji.
No.
Yes.
Those are different Mr. Fujis.
No, there was a Fuji that was a wrestler. Then there was the Japanese Fuji that threw the fucking hat around.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, same dude. This guy got a commercial years later. He got so much notoriety from.
Go to Mr. Fuji. What are you doing?
Mr. Fuji Formula 44. I don't think they had the commercial.
How fucked up are you? You have a hyphen in there. Okay. You have like a tilde.
Oh, sorry. No, it's a comma. I just put the comma in the wrong
spot. There you go. Put a hyphen in now. Mr. Fui? Mr. Fuji.
I don't think they have the commercial.
No.
But yeah, this is same.
Show me something of Mr. Fuji.
Mr. Though. Fuji, James Bond, Goldfinger.
Yeah.
That's it. Goldfinger.
Why are you putting a comma in there?
Because that's how you do it.
No, you don't.
Okay.
But start from scratch. Give everything a capital. You see that, mister? Give that a capital over there. Didn't you go to college for 4 fucking years?
You doesn't horrible. Need a capital.
All right, mister. Fuji gets a capital F, too. Fuji gets a capital. His whole family went to Nagasaki, and you don't want to give him the respect he fucking deserves. Okay? Too. Now erase James Bond, all right? Just put Mr. Fuji Goldfinger. Try that. Can we fucking do that? No.
No, you just
give me a fucking, give me a space. Mr. Fuji, Goldfinger with a fucking capital G, cocksucker. It's a movie. It requests respect.
I'm telling you, it's two different Mr. Fujis.
I'm telling you, this has to be the fucking one. Lee, how long did we click this fucking thing?
I did. It's done. It's not the same person.
Go to all.
All right, you motherfuckers are confusing me. See, I get all fucked up.
Professor.
This is who you're thinking of. Odd Job. Sorry, not that
one. Look at this shit.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's not Mr. Fuji. It's Odd Job.
Oh, then fuck him. What do I care about this fucking guy?
Yeah, that is two different Asian guys.
Yeah, no, I don't know nothing about this fucking guy. I'm talking about the Japanese guy.
Wait, click Odd Job fight, though. I'm kind of interested in seeing him fight.
I don't want to see Odd Job fight. I want to see him do nothing. Look at this shit.
You know what?
He throws his hat.
Yeah, he's a little chubby Asian dude. He was the best in 007.
You know what we got to do, Bert Kreischer?
What's that?
We got to open up a business. I got an idea for you.
Let's do it.
You know what it is?
What?
A bartending school.
Chrysler's bartending school.
How many fucking people went to bartending?
I did.
Yeah. 50%.
Really?
I didn't go because it was my dream. I got a job and they said, do you know how to bartend? And I said, yeah. And they go, well, do you know how to make a fucking martini dry? And I go, not really. And they go, all right, listen, we're going to pay. Go there for 2 weeks from 6 to 9. Once they certify you, we can put you in bank until you can make $18 an hour. It's 1984.
Really?
$18 an hour plus a fucking banquet tip for 4 hours wasn't bad. So they paid the fucking two bills. So I went to bartending school. And that's so funny. Every time I go to that 7-Eleven, there's a bartending school right next to it.
Really?
Yeah, right there on, not the ISIS
one. On Burbank.
On Burbank Boulevard.
You say Burbank?
Burbank and what is it? Colfax? No,
Colfax.
But Colfax. No, I went, this is how much of a nerd I was. Me and my best friend from high school went as like the freshman year in like a summer of college when most kids are going on like spring break. We went to bartending school. Just none of
but
us.
But you went to the cocktail bartending school.
Did you want to meet girls?
No. I was already a server. So I thought I was going to become a bartender. But then they don't hire bartenders just straight out. You need to like work your way up. So it was worthless going to the school. So, yeah, no, and they didn't even have real alcohol. They had, like, colored water. It was terrible. Like, that's what I did for a week or 2 weeks.
I did it for 2 weeks, and it was pretty legit. Like, they had booze there, and 3 nights of the week, people came in there for cheap drinks. That's when you know you're an alkie.
Yeah.
When you go to a bartending school to get dollars.
Shut up, Joey.
Yes. This was
You mean you can go get drunk at bartending school? At
bartending school and drink the mistakes and shit. Fucking hilarious. And I'll never forget. After 3 nights, you're like, this is pretty much a joke. Like, you know, they start from scratch. This is how you wash a glass. This is how you put ice cubes in a glass, the temperature of the water. I already knew all those things from my mother's bar. I just wanted to learn how to make those high-end rusty nails. That's what they wanted. So I sat it out till that, and I put up with the bullshit. But there was one dude who went in there, and right from the jump, he thought he was Cocktail. But this was way before the fucking movie Cocktail came out. And he was a black dude, excuse me, with an afro. I'll never forget this. I don't know what his name was. I'm sorry. And he was throwing the bottles, and they told you before class, every time he broke a bottle, it was $15. And fucking this guy. Like, so what they would do is, they from 6 to 9, you would go in there, and people, creepy people, would go in there and drink at this bartending school.
How great is that?
Oh, my God. They were creepy as fuck. And they were drunk already, and they were just getting, like, Alabama Slammers for $1 or
Cuba Libres.
Greyhounds for $1 and shit like that, you know? But I'll never forget this black dude one night started throwing bottles up, and he had three of them, and all three of them broke. And I'll never forget that. Yo, that's $45. It don't look like you're getting your diploma. Because you needed to get your diploma on Friday. And it was a violation. If you got like three violations, he got three violations all at one shot. But here's the funny thing. So I went to one of the better ones. So at this place, the one guarantee they made you was lifetime placement. American Bartending Institute. So I go to San Francisco now. I went to this bartending school February of 83. By February of 85, bartending was out of my system. I was a full-time criminal.
Yeah.
And I'm in San Francisco, and I'm trying to get my life together, but I'm really just looking for a score. And I'm walking down the big street, and what do I see in San Francisco? But American Bartending School. Let me run upstairs. Run upstairs. There's two fucking dudes that look like drug dealers. They're scammers. I'm like, how you doing? My name is Joey Diaz. I went to American Bartending School in New York City. They said I had a lifetime placement. The guy goes, you're absolutely, you're right.
Yeah.
Let me call over there. When did you graduate? I go, February of 83. Guy picked up the phone. Give me a minute. There was no computers in those days, guys.
I got a guy.
Yeah. You had a call, and then they put, you had to check the file, you know?
Yeah.
And the chick got back on the phone. Yeah, he graduated, did great. You know, no complaints. He was placed right away. Never a complaint. Okay, we'll get you a job. But then they sent me to this Mexican place. It was weird. First, they sent me to an Italian place, and they wanted me to be there at 9:30. But you know me, dog. I got to go at 8:40.
Yeah.
And I walk in there at 8:40, and they went somewhere and left the safe open in the back. You know, I'm walking through going, hello, hello.
Hello.
Like Johnny Angel.
And on your first day in this open safe?
On your first day.
I opened the door, and the fucking two things were on, the trays, and there's the bags, deposit bags. So I just started putting bags, and there was the change. I put so much change on this that the jacket I had a suit jacket, was hanging off me like a scarecrow. I get out of there. I get on the bus with my girlfriend at the time.
You don't even go back to, like, the job?
No. There's no reason to fill out an application. It's like I told Kate Quigley, once somebody fucks you in the ass, there's no more dinners. You know what I'm saying? Once somebody taps that muffler, it ain't taking you out to dinner no more. It's over. From now on, you get Subway sandwich, a half. So I got this fucking job. I didn't get the job. I didn't even leave an application. Like 2 days later, they called the hotel. At the time, I was staying at the Virginian Hotel. They called the hotel, and they asked me, Joey, did you ever go for that interview? And I go, no. I fell asleep. I'm sorry, guys. And they go, well, somebody showed up and robbed the place. Are you sure it wasn't you? And I go, no, it wasn't me. And they go, yeah, nobody seen the guy. He was like a fucking ghost, so I'm just double checking that you know, it was fucking crazy.
Yeah. Like you're going to go, yeah, that was me.
Oh, it was hysterical.
Yeah.
And then they sent me for another job at a Mexican place, and two guys had to interview me. When the second guy came over, and he goes, is that really your name, Jose Diaz? You really from Cuba? Yeah, come away. He asked me 10 questions. He goes, my name is Jose Diaz, and I'm from Camagüey, Cuba. So we sat there for 2 hours. He bought me lunch.
Really?
We were related in some sort of crazy fucking way.
Shut up.
Like second cousins. He called Cuba on the spot. Like he was like, we'll get to the bottom of this right now. We looked just a little the same. Like we were cousins or something like that. We're in the same fucking town. So he got me a job at a place called Rockin' Robbins. On Haight-Ashbury. He goes, I can't hire you here. If you want to wait a month, I'll give you a full-time job.
Yeah.
I'll give you a bar-back job. I don't want to be a fucking bar-back. So he got me a job at Rockin' Robbins on Haight-Ashbury. That's been closed. You don't even know. It was a great little bar over there.
Wow. I thought it was a Red Robins at first.
Fuck no. This place had all Cadillac on the walls. The front ends of Cadillacs.
Yeah.
And when the DJ would put certain music on, the Cadillac lights would go on and fucking tourists would go crazy. Long fucking time ago. I was a doorman on Mondays and a bartender Thursday.
What states have you lived in?
New Jersey. New Aspen, York. Colorado. Boulder, Colorado. Seattle, Washington. Los Angeles, California.
That's it?
That's
what
it.
About Houston?
Never lived there. Went on the road there.
Yeah, I guess I haven't lived that many places. I've lived in Tampa, Tallahassee, New York, LA. That's it.
How you feeling, Lee? You getting spots?
Oh, yeah.
I can tell you're getting a little spotty and shit. How you feeling? You're rocking back and forth?
I'm good. I can't tell if I'm hot or if I'm really high.
You want to put some music on?
Absolutely.
Like Pink Floyd and rock this motherfucker out, at least I am. What you had a nice time this weekend. So this was a birthday gift.
Yeah, this was...
And you had a nice little time together. I could tell that you came back refurbished, looking at your head shaved. You're ready to rock this week.
It was... We have a good time just being together. It's, I was single for like 3 or 4 years, I think, in between college and coming out. And like, I had a terrible girlfriend who was just like the worst. And, not everything, like, I'm not going to say everything's perfect. Like, nothing's ever perfect, but like, you and I were talking.
This is as perfect as it's going to be.
As it's going to be? Yeah, and then,
this is nobody's fucking perfect, really. No. Nobody meets on Match.com.
No one's perfect.
And everybody lasts for fucking ever.
And you were saying to me, like, don't leave early on Thursday.
Oh, I forgot.
And I was like, but you know what, man?
How long did it take you? 3 hours?
3.5 hours.
4 hours, yeah.
So, yeah. But you know what? We have fun. Like, what else? Like, I was thinking about it. Like, yeah, I could have done a little bit. I could have sent a couple emails. But it made her happy, and we had fun listening to music. I don't, it's...
Do you say I love you?
Oh, yeah. It's been over 3 years. So that's...
Are you going to get her pregnant?
Let's hope not for a while.
Why? How old are you?
28.
Oh, you're a baby. How old is she?
She's 26.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wait, yeah, no, there's... Off. She,
I'm trying to talk to him from a living standpoint. Like, I did this mental survey.
Yeah.
You know, we as men, you talk to other guys, you talk, not to me, but you talk to the guys you went to high school with, and maybe one of them married a cheerleader, and you know how it is, and you take a mental fucking survey. And I look at my life, and one of the best things I did at 25 was meet the girl that I had Jackie with. But at the same time, it was one of the worst things. Because looking back, I wasn't ready for a relationship at 25, guys. Yeah. Do you know, were you?
Oh, no.
Damon, I mean, looking back, 25, and I know you had girlfriends. I'm not saying that you, at 25, every guy in this room had a girlfriend. But think of how it ended. Think of how it went. Think of how they pushed your buttons. You didn't end up with them because nobody in this room got married at 26 or 27. We all maybe, I made a mistake and I even shacked up with one for years. I wanted to live like Charles Bronson. I never thought I would have lived with a fucking woman, ever. Like, when I was 21, if you would ask me, would I live with a woman, I'd look at you and go, in a million fucking years.
You know what's crazy, though, is that now you can see how those women live their lives. You can see them online. And, like, one of the girls is taking planes down to Guatemala to help orphans for her church. She's very, very Christian. I'm like, oh, thank God I didn't end up with that. And then another one is posting like inspirational, but weird conservative inspirational female statements. And you're just like, I'm like, fuck, that was the one. Like, and then I look at Leanne and I go, oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Ended up with that fucking chick.
Oh,
I'm so fucking glad. That
kid's a great listener from the church. I said something on a Periscope and he said some stuff to Lee. And it was an old girlfriend of mine, and I had just said her name. And it's my ex-wife. Who the fuck am I?
Yeah.
And I clicked on the Facebook page, and it was horrific.
Oh.
I mean, she hasn't changed. I mean, she didn't gain a pound. She's still a pretty good-looking girl.
Yeah.
It just fucking hit me like a ton of bricks. I was never even married to her. When I saw her, it reminded me how much I didn't want to be with her when we got separated. Wow. It was just the only reason why I continued talking to her was because of the fucking child. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was just kind of weird. So I know how that hits you.
I was with a chick. I was with a chick for 5 years in college. I thought I was going to marry her. Totally thought I was going to marry her. She ended up fucking my best friend and giving me the clap. And I was fucking heartbroken.
That's a tough one.
Oh, dude, you take that one on the chin, looking at it coming at you.
That's 5 years of drinking, trying to figure out what the fuck you did.
Or 20. But the fucking...
When you were a young man, that's fucking heavy.
I slept with two girls, Joey. That's it. Worn protection totally for one of them. Just didn't wear protection for the one that I did for 5 years because I was like, well, we're in love, that we wouldn't cheat on each other. Got the clap, and it was fucking brutal. I told her during this time I came back from Russia. I told her, I said, I had met the guys from the state. You remember the state? The state on MTV, Michael Wayans and Michael Ian Black. And,
I wasn't watching TV then.
And so I met them in Greece. And David Wayne had said to me about being a comic. And I was like, I got the seed in my head. And in Greece, I decided I kind of wanted to be a comic. Then, you know, I come home. I tell her in confidence, I think I want to be a comedian. This is before I think she told me she had fucked my best friend. I was laying in her bed for the Miami, Florida game. And I was like, I think I want to be a comic. She was like, oh, honey, you're an idiot. Like, you're not fun. You're not, like, smart funny. Comedians are smart funny. You're stupid funny. Like, you'll never be a comedian. And she wanted to be an actress. And I remember being like, I'll never tell a fucking soul my secrets ever. And then I told the Rolling Stone people I wanted to be a comic. And I ended up, obviously, becoming a comic. And I've been doing it for, I think, what, 18, 17 years? But the interesting thing is she's trying to be off like a Broadway actress. She's been trying to be an actress since she graduated college, and she has had no success, like none, like just off-Broadway shit. I look back, and I think, had I not dated the one girl, Kristen, who that was the next girl after, that was just kind of oblivious to the way the world worked and just was like, you can do anything you want to do. She still posts inspirational feminist, conservative feminist posts. Had I not dated her, I don't know if I would have ever had the balls to do it. And had I stuck with that chick, I probably would have ended up the same failure she is. And you just think about all these little fucking things. And like, I remember thinking I got her pregnant at one point and thinking, oh, this is what the universe wants. And then you're like, oh, fuck this. The universe doesn't want any of this shit. The universe, and then I remember being alone in New York being like, oh, the universe wants me to be alone right now. The universe wanted me to be stricken of all these female opinions and form my own about life. Those are the best times in the world. And I look back, I'm like, I'm so glad for all the shit. Like, you know, not to bring it full circle, but, you know, this tour was going to be a big deal for, I think, both of us, and be a lot of fun, a little feather in the cap and a little bit of money and a lot of fun. But then when it went away, I saw it as like the universe going like, hey, man, you're renovating your house. You should be here with your family and experience this change at the same time they experience it.
I have a certain blessing on me. And it's been like that for years. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't happen, something happened that didn't want you to happen.
Leanne's like that.
3 years from now, you'll look and go, that's why I didn't get that. Look, the movie fucking bombed anyway. Here I was sick to my stomach over the holidays because I lost the movie.
The holidays?
Yeah, because you auditioned December 18th, then they tell you they're going to tell you January 8th. And all of a sudden, you got to sit through the fucking holidays thinking, did you get it? What did you say in the audition? What did they say to you? Did they make you a hint? Did they say something? What's up?
See, like, that's hard for me. Like, you guys had this tour canceled on you. There's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, like, that's like, oh, okay, cool. That's
exciting. Feel bad for the people. People tweeted me and did not know Atlanta was canceled. Did you know that?
Yeah, I got pictures of people with tickets.
Tickets and all that shit. So I felt very bad. But at the same time, I kind of felt relieved, guys. I'm not going to lie to you. If it's meant to be, It's meant to fucking be. Let me tell you something.
It's meant to be.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to your city. I get on the 405. And a tank, the train tips over and I miss the 7:30 flight. I cancel that weekend.
Yeah.
That's a sign telling me, you know what? It's blocked. They're going to open it in 4 hours. Yeah, you go around and reschedule your flight, whatever. But this was something telling you, you don't need to go. You turn around.
I do that with when you get to an airport and they're like, if you rush, you can get it. And I go, no. What if I don't?
Yeah. Life knows how to throw you different fucking curveballs and they give you little messages to ride it. Don't give you. Life gave Lee a fucking message Friday night. He went down there to jump up and down. He jumped up and down 3 times and he said, am I fucking retarded?
Yeah.
Look at these fucking people with gloves on, and this is not. I love Black Sabbath. I listen to something from Black Sabbath every day. They're going to be here a month from tonight, tomorrow night.
Really?
Yeah, they're going to be at the Hollywood Bowl. You and I both know on paper. It's a great fucking show. We could do some chocolate mushrooms and smoke some dope and really get a good show. Guys, if you want, I can lie to you and tell you I'll meet you at the Hollywood Bowl.
If you want, I can lie to you and tell you I'll meet you at the Hollywood Bowl.
Don't count on me. I love Black Sabbath. Whatever. The final tour, I know. They're never going to perform again. Neither was fucking the Monkees. And they always find a way. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's always going to quit. Then they don't quit. Who feels like an asshole? You, because you went to the last fucking tour.
Yeah.
And then you go to the last tour. Then the last tour when they're, you know, it's just, so I want to go. I mean, this is it.
Yeah,
but I can't imagine myself there for 2 hours jumping up and down and then driving out of the Hollywood Bowl parking lot down on fucking Highland and fucking Franklin and trying to get on Cahuenga before the rest of the fucking mooks, because I wait for that encore and I start walking up fucking hill.
No, what if an agent called you and was like, Joey, here's the deal. You got your backstage passes. It's all your run. Do whatever you want back there. We got you a box seat up front. You go in.
If an agent calls me and says they have backstage passes for Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath and I can meet them,
yeah,
I'm going. But I only hang out to 15 minutes.
You're not going to watch the whole show?
It would destroy my insides, I think.
Really?
I don't know. Why do you put me through these fucking Jeopardy questions?
Wouldn't it be nice if they're like a little nice after party, good food, backstage, hang out with the band?
If somebody who was my friend like Lee or you or Damon were there, I'd feel more comfortable. I wouldn't feel like an asshole. Just completely.
Let's
20 years ago, 30 years ago, I wanted to kill myself at a Black Sabbath concert. Like, I was going to shoot myself in the head at an Ozzy Osbourne concert. A bunch of us were like, listen, let's just take those fucking aspirins. Remember when people were poisoning people with aspirins? Like, I loved
Ozzy. Yeah.
I loved Ozzy Osbourne. I like everything Black Sabbath stood for. I was there since Sabotage. The first time I saw that album cover, I was like, wait a second, what the fuck is that? And I remember bringing it home and putting it on and going, oh, my God, I have to smoke pot to understand this.
Yeah.
Like, I have to get high to figure out what the fuck they're saying. And that's what made me get high. That and my godfather getting high, cutting up the weed. Then he would smoke it, and then he would giggle for hours.
Oh, that's the best
part. Old school. And then he'd throw away the half a joint, and that's it. He would drive me back to my mother's and he would tell me, don't tell your mother about me smoking pot. I don't want her to know.
That's the best part of smoking pot is giggling.
And I wouldn't tell my mother. And when my mother smoked pot in front of me, I wouldn't tell him. So I was living like a double fucking agent. Let me give a shout out to the sponsors. We'll get the fuck out of here. I got to get down the hill here. Almost always my favorite, Chris over at Datsusara. The ultimate natural fucking fiber. Hemp. That's what these motherfuckers do. Whether it's the hemp towels, the real dope gi pants, they got a rewards program, they got a beautiful rash guards. I mean, listen, their bag is one of the best bags I've ever had altogether, period. I had that Nike bag 3 months. It started breaking fucking apart, that little rubber Chinese bag they charge you $30 for. This fucking bag is so durable. Listen, I already told you how many things I have in the pockets. I even found more fucking pockets down below the other day for like mouthpieces and wallets. This Datsusara bag, the heavy duty, the hemp bag, check it out online. Go to dsgear.com right now And look at the great selection with the gi. The gi's a badass gi. The fucking real dope gi pants are tremendous. Look at the fanny pack, which is tremendous. I mean, listen, I will guarantee every product there. As part of my deal with you, I'll tell you what I'll do. Go to dsgear.com right now. Look at the great selection of hemp products they have. You see something you like, go to the box and press in.
Joey.
Bam! J-O-E-Y. And get 5% off your order. I love Datsusara, all right? So do me a favor. Go to dsgear.com and take a look at that great selection of hemp products. You see something you like? Again, what are they, Presley?
Joey.
Boom! Number two, Honor.com. Baddest motherfuckers ever. You want to do something healthy for yourself? Get a jar of the motherfucking mixed greens. The first two dumps you take, you see your soul. You understand me? That's how healthy fucking out it is. You got the Alpha Brain. You got the Shroom Tech. You got the Hemp Force Protein Shake. I mean, listen, it never fucking ends. Do me a favor. I can't do any deals for you on the kettlebells and the bars. But as far as supplements, I got you, bitches. Go to the box and press in.
Church.
Boom. C-H-U-R-C-H. And get 10% off your order delivered straight to your motherfucking door. Bert Kreischer, when are your dates?
Toledo, September 9th through 11th.
You're that's, beautiful.
That's all I got coming
up. I love you motherfuckers. Thank you very much for checking in. Have a great week. Have a great Monday. Get ready for Labor Day. We'll be back Wednesday, you cocksuckers. I love you. Don't forget, Wednesday night, the Ice House. Next Thursday, Flappers, the No Expectations Tour. Stay black.
This show was brought to you by Datsusara. Go to dsgear.com and use promo code Joey to save 5% on all of their extremely high-quality functional gear that's made with hemp textiles. They have bags, gis, rash guards, and much, much more. Go to dsgear.com/Joey right now or enter promo code Joey when you check out to save 5% off. Show is also brought to you by Onnit.com. Go to Onnit.com and use promo code CHURCH to save 10% on all of their amazing optimization products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, and Shroom Tech Sport.
Se está quejando que no puede vacilar. Si donde quiera que se mete, oye, su gata lo va a buscar.
Bonito.
De noche brinca la verja.
¿Dónde?
En el nena, oye, que está bien de mi caos. A ver si puede fugarse sin que ella lo pueda ver. Y no tan pronto, no, 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 no tan pronto está de fiesta. Si lo entre felino, tiene que echar a correr. Esto sí es serio, mi amigo. Oye, qué lío, pero qué lío se va a formar. El que a su gata le cuenta, que el que a su gata le dice, no es nada más que un ratón, un ratón. Me.